The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Oh, yeah. And that's what you say right when you shoot your load, thinking about the discount. Oh, savings. Buckle up, you dirty bitches. It's my birthday, and Ari Shaffir's in the house.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
The inevitable slide continues as I hit 44 today.
A slide to death?
Yes. The slide towards the great beyond. It will not stop. It waits for no man.
44? Which one is it?
44. That's what I just turned.
Okay. Is that a special year when it goes back and
just
forth?
Just keeps
like
going.
That?
Keeps sliding. I always say that I keep my eye on Sylvester Stallone. He's my canary in a coal mine.
As long as
that guy's still alive, like, how much roid can you do and be like 60? That's incredible.
Maybe you'd figure a line for Expendables 2.
You know what he's like? He's like an old fucking car. Like, you could take an old 55 Chevelle or a 55 Buick, rather, and just put some ridiculous rocket engine in it and see how long that suspension lasts.
Brand new parts all over.
Constant brand new parts, but how long before he blows that frame out?
Yeah.
How long before that frame just bends and falls off? He must have like the best scientists in the world just constantly jabbing him with needles. Just constantly checking his blood.
As he's eating breakfast, just somebody comes and sticks him.
Yep.
Somebody else comes and draws some.
Checks his blood, checks his urine. They examine him, and then they hit him with some more roids.
Make sure you eat a grapefruit and shoot it up.
Yeah, give him some of that shit from the Planet of the Apes. Give him that new shit. Dude. He's my canary in a coal mine. So as long as I'm 44 and he's like 65 or something like that now.
Yeah.
I think he's 65. To still doing action movies.
Have you seen that movie, that Planet of the Apes movie?
It's fucking, we talked about it last podcast.
Doug Stanhope is my canary. You know, because he drinks and smokes. He does everything. Yeah.
Doug Canary's, that's going to die.
The same way.
He got in a lot of trouble recently, I guess.
What happened?
Doug Stanhope got in trouble for something?
Again.
Oh, go on.
He was on, I believe, BBC Radio, and the host of the radio show just mentioned one of his jokes.
Down syndrome.
Down syndrome.
This is what he said. He said, "Sarah." This is Stanhope's joke. Sarah Palin has two retarded kids. One of them has Down syndrome. The other one signed up for the military. It's a fucking good joke.
Yeah, retarded both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did they say on BBC America?
And DJ just mentioned that.
Yeah,
joke,
he said.
Sarah Palin.
Well, this is the deal. He's on BBC Radio, which I've done before, and they're very polite, and you don't go into depth about anything. There's no flavor to it at all.
Yeah,
BBC Radio is like the most bland, flavorless, emotionless. It's like PBS
with an accent.
It's like PBS if it was tired.
Yeah.
You know, PBS if it got neutered, if they had no sex.
Really?
Oh, it's fucking terrible. It's terrible radio. But Stanhope did it, and he's talking to this, you know, they can't get in depth about it, so he's forced to have sort of a polite conversation, but he doesn't want to give the people the wrong impression that this is going to be like what they come to see, you know? When people don't know what kind of comedy you do, and Stanhope is, you know, remarkably offensive, and especially if you're just some regular fucking square out there living in the world, you know, especially in England, you're not used to this Arizona trash that is Doug Stanhope. You know, so they wanted to let the people know, like, just in case you don't believe us that Mr. Stanhope has a very offensive stand-up comedy act, just Google his bit on Sarah Palin. That's all this guy said.
Oh, they didn't even say the retarded bit? They just
said, he said, see the bit on YouTube, or, I think he said YouTube.
And they got in trouble for that?
Yes, he got in trouble for that.
Why did they even go on that show?
Well, what he's saying is, what the people are saying was that what this guy did in referencing that is, like, sort of, like...
Put a stamp
what's
of approval
the
on it?
Yeah, it's like you...
Condone it?
Condone it, yeah. It's like condoning it
mm-hmm.
by telling people about it at all.
Yeah.
You're advertising it, sort of. Right. Which I can see that what they were saying, but so fucking what?
But they're condoning on the level of this
is
does
offensive.
Represent offensive material.
He's telling you
which
that it's offensive.
So it's
and
like,
if you don't believe him, watch his bit. So if you don't believe him... You know, and you watch the bit and you get offended and then you get mad, you're a fucking moron. That's one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever heard in my
life.
You're
saying, I'm not taking your word for it.
Yeah.
And then going there, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I should have taken your word for it? How dare you?
It's outrageous that anyone could possibly complain. This guy is interviewing a comic, okay? And in the interview, the comic stays within the lines of whatever, you know, parameters of behavior they find acceptable. He doesn't go out of those lines at all. He just had a polite conversation. But they wanted to let people know. So he said, if you don't believe us, watch this bit. And then people were going fucking crazy, and they're calling for this guy's head. It's incredible how – what is going on? Why is everybody becoming such a bunch of cunts and pussies? Because it feels like more than ever.
They just can, so they do.
Is that right?
They can, yeah.
Is it frustration in their own lives, and they find something where they can score on, something where they can fucking tee off on, they just go
sometimes
after?
Sometimes it really is like, I didn't want to hear that, and it's fucking annoying.
Right.
I don't say fucking annoying, but – if it's two in their face.
Right.
But I think usually it's just like, wait, is that... Yes, you shouldn't be promoting that anyway. And it's people just go overboard. Like, I don't even want to exist in the world. So they get mad whenever anyone references it. They're trying to kill it.
Yeah, it's that too, but it's a self-righteous indignation that's just so fake.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are looking for a moment to be angry.
To shit on other people for something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not Christian enough.
Yeah, you're not anything enough. Whatever the fuck it
is. And that's all it is. It's just a religious thing. That's all that's left.
Why the fuck is it so hard for people to leave other people alone?
It's like,
why is that
so
hard?
He's telling you it's offensive stuff.
Yeah.
All right. If you're into Jesus or whatever, just don't watch it.
Why is it so hard for cunts to watch it? Even if they watch it and they get upset, like, oh, God, he said that? That guy's an asshole. I'll never go see him live. Yeah. Why do they get so upset they attack the DJ for mentioning it?
I don't know.
I mean, you gotta be you gotta be a fucking mess. That's you're gonna use your time for that? Like, really? That's ridiculous.
That?
Who the fuck does that?
Housewives.
I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know who the fuck does it.
Remember that lady that Patrice O'Neill was fighting with on MSNBC or Fox News?
Yes.
Yeah, like that type of woman. She represents the people who complain.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
It's just like, you don't even really understand what's even been said.
I was talking to this woman, and she told me in the middle of the conversation about some letter that she wrote to some something. I forget it was a show or a product that she didn't like. But she was going off about how, so I wrote them a letter telling them that I didn't find that. I go, really? You wrote them a letter? Like, really?
The only reason to write a letter to a company is for the back-to-school reason when, summer school reason with Mark Harmon, when you get free shades and things like that.
Yes.
You're writing a letter. Yeah.
I remember hearing that. All you have to do is complain. I got some bunk Gillette razors. Uh-huh. What's up? I think your razors rule, but this is bullshit.
I used to do that all the time.
And they worked?
Yeah, mostly restaurants were the best because, like, I would go to a restaurant, and even if it was just mediocre, instead of just writing a review, I'd just send a letter to, like, Applebee's. Like, dude, I went to Applebee's. The waiter was like, I mean, 20 minutes for a soup, really? They'll send you a gift certificate back for $50. And I'm like,
Have you ever seen anybody in person trying to run that scam in a restaurant?
What? Complain? Yes. Like,
the fake complaint scam?
Yeah.
I've seen real complaints from, like, Jewish delis, but they're just really complaining about everything.
Well, there's people that complain, like, this soup's cold or this, you know, corned beef is rough. That's all legit. I mean, I had to send a pastrami Reuben back once at Jerry's Famous Deli. It turns out they cut it the wrong way.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't bad. But if you cut it one way, it's real rough.
It doesn't bite right.
Yeah, yeah. But if you cut it another way, it breaks up.
Yeah,
which is incredible when you think about it.
It doesn't bite right.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Brisket's the same way. You got to cut it with the grain or against the grain. I forget which one it is.
You just move your hands, like, to the left.
You would think so. But what it is it's, when you cut it with the tendon, like, along the grain of the tendon, which is apparently the wrong way, then it's like chewing these tendons. Tendon is the wrong word. Muscle fibers. But if you cut it against it, I guess then it comes out.
My dad showed me a taste test once on a brisket. He showed me, and he was like, look, if I cut it wrong, he gave me each. And I was like, ugh, it just tastes, it just bites wrong.
Wow.
That's what it is.
Yeah. fuck, I was going to say something.
So you sent that back. You complained. That was the only thing.
That was the only thing ever.
Yeah, the people that complained.
I was going to say something else that was much more important.
Wow.
This is what it is. I watched this happen in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I was at Spago, which is an excellent restaurant. I mean, Spago in Maui, in Hawaii. It's really expensive. It's at the Four Seasons.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a 5-star restaurant. I mean, it's jamming. The food there is intense. It's really good. It's one of those places
where Wolfgang Puck, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See the chef there?
Yeah, you eat there. Like, they have this miso cod. Like, you eat it, you're like, God damn, this is fucking delicious. It's just, they're experts, you know? They're expert chefs. So it's a high-end place. So there's a lot of rich people there dining. You look around, and, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm like, how much money did this guy steal? Who's this corporate criminal? Yeah. You know, it's that kind of shit. And at this restaurant, the people behind us, there was this English couple, and they were totally working a scam. It was so obvious. one of them, the guy was like, you know, he kept saying, like, you've got to get your shit together here. He goes, I've come here. I've wanted to get the pork chop. You tell me you're out of the pork chops. But the pork chops are your special. Like, mate, how are you running out of this? I mean, this is shoddy, shoddy stuff.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, I apologize, sir. But, you know, hopefully you can find another choice. You know, and so he says, you know, our food didn't come at the same time. Like, hers was over. You know, he said it was like 10 minutes later.
Was it Gordon Ramsay?
No. It was just some dick. And he was asking them to take money off. Like, surely you can't expect us to be paying for this. And he started talking about the rice. And he goes, you bought over rice. Her rice was so hot, it almost burnt her mouth. I mean, mate, what
he's
is
just in
this?
Pissy pants mode.
Yeah. He goes, we sent something back. We send it back because it's cold. You bring it back, it's too hot. Like, come on, man, get your shit together, mate. He goes, this is intolerable. He goes, you've got to do something to fix
recompense
this.
Us.
Yeah, to yeah, whatever the word is, you know, to do something to make things right. And I was like, wow, to compensate us. You know, you've got to compensate me for this. You know, it was like really, it was ridiculous. And they kept going. And the manager, it was a clumsy one. Like, they were being way too obvious about it.
Yeah.
And what they were complaining about was way too little. It was way
also,
too
Also, it's like, if they don't have the special, it's like, well, then you should get up and leave immediately. It's not like you were halfway through the meal, then it got bad. You're complaining from the start.
Well, they complained about a few different things. It took me a while to tune into them. There was like a certain cunty noise from behind me. So it took me a while to tune into it. And then once I tuned into it, then we actually watched them try to scam these waiters. And then, you know, the waiter had to bring over a manager. And the waiter clearly said to the manager that these people were scamming. Because as the manager came back, he was like a stone-faced killer. Yeah. It's like, how can I help you? What's going on here? And the guy like runs his shit. He goes, sir, we're out of the pork chops. Any other questions? What can I help you with? And, like, he just like... kept them like, sir, I'm confused here is why you would think that we would compensate you for this, sir. Like, why would you your meal is unsatisfactory. This is an excellent restaurant. I don't know what you're saying. Like, you just like shut the guy down. And but it was ugly, man. It lasted for like 15 minutes and it required everybody to pay attention to it, because it was, you know, when you're in a restaurant and all of a sudden some shit goes wrong at some table and you hear people raise their voices, like, you have to pay attention at least part of it, because someone might pull out a fucking gun, or somebody might punch somebody.
It commands your attention.
Yeah, it commands your attention, but your warning signals go off. At least mine do. When I see people arguing, I always say, okay, what's going on here? How much do I have to pay attention to this? What is the threat level I'm assessing here? You know, when people are in the middle of, you know, fucking yelling at each other. So I had to pay attention to these scumbags. But it was weird. It's weird seeing, like, people run scams. Like, it's one thing to be a kid in Ohio trying to get fucking free lollipops or whatever you want. But to be a grown man in his 40s with a woman who is clearly in on it, and they're trying to work this shit.
I feel bad. That's the Joey Diaz, when he was younger, he robbed banks and mugged fags.
But I
feel bad about my past, but it's not as bad. When I used to do this scam when I was like 18, 17, I would go to these diners just to smoke cigarettes and drink coffee.
Yeah.
And I had no money. And so what I would do is, once in a while, I had chest hair when I was in high school. Once in a while, I would just be like, oh, who wants free meals? And I'll just poke it and go, do you guys want some? You know, and I'll give it to my friends. And, you know,
did you really do that?
Yes.
How many times did you do it?
Probably like 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5 times at the same place.
Yeah, TJ's on High Street.
There's a dude that I know that actually brings clipped nail clippings to restaurants and drop them in soups and in his food claim that people
nails.
Put that in there. And he'll complain about it, and he does it on purpose.
He eats most of it, and then he
gets paid well. This guy.
Oh, they pay him.
No. This guy is not a broke guy. He's not a poor guy running a scam.
Good job.
But he brings a little plastic bag, a little Ziploc bag of nail clippings.
Me and my friend Shane once went to Arby's, and you know those the fountain drinks? They have these little black nozzles, and if you've worked in a restaurant, it's like what you usually take out to clean every night, and you put it in and twist it. Anyways, we got a drink, and that black nozzle fell into his glass, and so we went home, and this is like when I first got a video camera, and he opened it up, and he was like, what is this thing, after he's drank half of it? He's like, what's this thing? And he pulls it out, and it's the black nozzle, and inside of it is just mold and most disgusting. Disgusting shit ever. So we filmed it and we went to Arby's, and he's just like bitching at the manager and And like we filmed the whole thing, and he's like, "No, I want some free shit." And like it was like he turned it into like, "I want some free art."
No, you're gonna pay me. You're not gonna bring it up. I'll bring it up.
And the funny thing is, she wouldn't give him anything.
Really?
Anything?
Oh, that was the internet days. You would have killed
him.
In the
video, yeah, in the internet days. In the video, she's like, "I don't care." She's like, "Here, I'll give you a dollar back for your drink," and gives a dollar back to the drink. And he's like, "Are you kidding me? We could send this to the fucking news." And she goes, "I don't give a, you know, I don't
care."
She
called your bluff.
I know, and I have that video somewhere.
She was right.
She called your bluff. You didn't do crap. Yep. She's long dead, of course, at Arby's.
But if you look at that video, you'll be disgusted. Like, yeah, if it was the internet days, I sent that picture of just that nozzle to Arby's.
You got to find that video.
Yeah. It's amazing that restaurants are as clean as they are when you think about it. You know, all those fucking lazy people
but
working
in there.
You know how they have cleaning on people that work in restaurants.
They're not. You ever see Kitchen Nightmares with one of the best TV shows ever that from Gordon Ramsay, but I think they canceled it. They have the UK version and the American version. The UK version or the American
crappy
version.
Restaurants.
Yeah,
They go to places where they're just a wreck.
Yeah, but what sucks is like there's a restaurant down the street from me in Burbank that was on that show.
Oh, no.
It was one of the worst episodes. And anyways, you can get it on Torrance. But there's one Mexican restaurant where they go in the back, and I guess a lot of Mexican restaurants do this. They have a big bucket that they get like at Home Depot, and they just put all the beans in it. And they had these bucket of beans where they just scoop out every day, and like, here's your beans, here's your beans. They pulled that bucket of beans out. One side of it was fucking mold. The other side was like a breakthrough where the hard layer in the top broke
through.
Wait a
minute, where was this?
It was a Mexican restaurant on.
There's mold on the beans?
Yeah. Yeah, on one side it was mold, and the top layer was so hard that they broke through like ice, like North Pole style, to get the beans underneath that were still.
It was so hard.
Anyways, really? I'm not exaggerating this at all.
And that's they serve to
if
people.
If anyone's ever seen this episode, they will know. I think about it every time I go
to
a Mexican
restaurant.
Are those
the beans they
serve to people? Yes, and they served it to him in the show. That's why the show is so great, because every episode he goes into the kitchen and finds the exact same kind of shit.
Yeah, that's the fake part.
Freaks you the fuck out where you don't want to eat at a restaurant ever again after watching that. But it's on Torrance, Kitchen Nightmares US version.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, man. You do risk it. When you go somewhere and you buy someone else's preparation, you do risk it, you know?
Yeah.
You do risk it. I've worked in restaurants before, you know.
Whatever, you got
shoddy
tune it out.
Fucking people.
You tune it out.
A girl that I was dating got in trouble for spitting in someone's milkshake.
Ugh. You should get in a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah.
That ruins your faith in the system.
That shit happens all the time, too. Used to do that as a waiter all the fucking time, putting my balls on people's breadsticks and shit like that.
Yeah, I guess the dude was a dick, so she spit in his fucking milkshake.
People, that's always an option to be a dick. Just don't do it. It's so easy. Don't
Meanwhile,
do it.
Meanwhile, she was kind of pretty. Probably would have let her spit in his mouth.
Can you imagine being a cop going to a restaurant? Can you imagine being a cop going to a restaurant? You know how many times people probably see a cop walking into a restaurant and fucking fuck that cop?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially some former
meter maids.
Prisoners.
No one likes them.
Oh, yeah, man. Holtzman became a meter maid, didn't he?
Yeah, I think for a little while.
Yeah, meter maid is a terrible job. You're just getting negative energy all day. Yeah. Nobody's nice to meter maids, man.
It would probably change meter maids' world if they would give them the option to stop halfway through a ticket. If they actually could do that and make some people's days.
Yeah, right? They can't? Or can they?
They always say, I can't stop once I've started. That was always the stereotype, the cliche. Yeah. Like, can't
but
stop
is that true?
I don't know. But if they could, they would win over so many more fans.
It's so goddamn ridiculous that you have to give someone money to put your car somewhere. Fuck you. Fuck you.
But without that,
that's
they'll just
ridiculous.
Park forever. No one will be able to get anywhere.
So what? So put up a sign that says you can't park forever, and then tow the fucks who do. It's that simple. I mean, it's one thing if you live in like one of those places like in West Hollywood. It's kind of crazy because they have all these spots where you can only park if you're a resident. Because there's really way too many people for this area.
Yes, the residents would never be able to park.
Well, even the residents can't park.
Yeah.
There's too many for the residents. As it is, there's too many. There's not enough parking spots for all the cars. Because there's all these apartment buildings, and everybody in L.A. drives.
Yeah.
So if you look at an apartment building, you're looking at one area that's not that big on a block, but might have 100 units in it.
Yeah, 40 people for four cars worth of spots.
Yeah, that's 100 cars. 100 cars is like the whole block. But there's a lot of other shit on that block besides that apartment building.
Yeah.
So it becomes a goddamn nightmare. But that kind of makes sense. Like resident parking, like don't park here. That's, you know, these people live here. Yeah, it sucks if you want to visit somebody, but that's better than if you lived there and it was intolerable. Every day you couldn't get a parking spot. But to charge people for parking on the fucking public streets, fuck you. You know, it's ridiculous. You shouldn't get any fucking money for someone who's shopping in a store, wants a pullover. The fuck you. You get a dollar for that? Why?
Well, the biggest problem would be, though, not doing that is then people would just abandon their cars there and, like, live in their cars.
So they can't do that.
Well, that's why they have a two-hour free parking or one-hour free parking.
There has to be some kind of law.
No parking for more than 2 hours.
You're making across the board.
That I don't mind. That I don't mind. If someone violates, like, a normal rule and then you give them a ticket to kind of keep order, you know, hey, man, you can't just be leaving your car parked sideways like that douchebag. You get a ticket for that.
But meters in general, you're not.
Yeah, but meters, man, fuck that.
Yeah.
That's gross.
It's the worst thing, you don't have any change.
Especially the long ones. Like, if you go to L.A., there's sometimes like 20 signs. And you seriously you just have to sit there, and it's like a video game
trying to read all the signs.
Yeah. I got a ticket the last time we were in Pasadena because it was like, no parking from this hour and this hour. Tuesdays, you can't park here at all after this time. And, like, I just need to take a photo.
You
got to
do
sometime.
The math. Yeah. You have to do math when you read the fucking parking sign.
Yeah, the thing is, too, you take a photo and you get a ticket, and what are you going to do? You're really going to fucking fight it?
Yeah, it takes forever. You got to go to court. It's a fucking... How much is a
major ticket?
How much is it?
It's like $60 or $70.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way.
And I always forget to pay.
Do that work.
Because it's like, then it doubles.
It obviously doubles.
You know what really kills me is when cops have quotas. You know, cops have quotas that they have to reach. They have to pull over a certain amount of people for a certain amount of things. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, and that's why, like, certain times of the month, you'll see just nonstop cops pulling people over all the time, and then next week you won't see anything.
But what's crazy is, what if no one commits a crime? I mean, what if we got everybody to keep this shit together for a month, and these cops still have quotas? That would be a crazy movie, like if a town committed.
Yeah, if all the cops fired.
Yeah, if you had a big, like say if it was like Boulder, Colorado, where it's like 100,000 people, if you could almost get 100,000 people to never commit any crimes.
Don't speed just for last week.
For 1 month, let's show these fucking cops that you can't have quotas that say that, you know, certain X amount of people have to be speeding.
Just the last week when they're trying to get everybody.
Unfortunately, our laws are written in such a way where they could pull you over for anything they probably want to. They can find a way to pull you over, no matter what. Like, oh, you didn't turn on your signal 3 seconds before you merged into the next lane. That's actually a law, you know, or something like that, where they can pull you over for anything. You know what I mean? They can pull you over for anything.
Yeah. Remember Soul Man when he pulled him over for not signaling?
Did you just say, remember Soul Man?
Yeah.
And then quote a scene. That's hilarious.
The cop is following him, like, 3 feet behind him. When the white guy took tanning pills.
Oh, yeah.
Some tanning pills and turned black. The cop was following, like, 3 feet behind him. And then eventually he did a swerve because someone opened their door, swerved around their door, and the cop pulled the lights on. Switching lanes without a light, without a signal.
Yeah, how risky was that movie when that came out? I remember seeing that for the first time. I was like, whoa,
you got a scholarship.
Really?
And then he started dating a black chick.
Whatever happened to that
daughter?
Dude? What is that? C. Thomas Howell?
I think it is.
What did it happen?
Where is that guy? That guy vanished.
Yeah,
he's another Cuba Gooding Jr.
No, so a lot of those actors, you don't understand. They reach a higher level of consciousness, and they just kind of disappear into the ether.
Oh, they're like Scientologists.
They probably do the right thing: invest their money and live on an island somewhere and just get out of it. You know, that's what I would do. I was in Balboa. Have you ever heard of Balboa Island?
No,
it's this island off of Newport Beach, and it costs a dollar to get over on this ferry. It's awesome. You just drive onto this ferry, and it goes right over. It's like a
Catalina.
Yeah, it's just like Catalina.
But Catalina is hard to get a ferry, right?
Yeah.
You get your car over there. It's more expensive than that, I think.
It's super small, though, and the houses are fucking amazing. There's not even a cop that lives on this island. And people just had their doors wide open, so you'd walk by and just see people, like, sitting in their house, and they had a Starbucks, and it was the most peaceful fucking shit ever.
The small numbers of people with money tend to be peaceful.
Yeah, that's right. So if I got to a certain amount of money, I think I would just take that money, invest it in something that makes me money every month, and just fucking live somewhere like that.
To this motherfucker pretending that he's an investor.
Yeah, invest in something that makes me money every month.
Simple.
No.
How much money?
So simple.
No, like property, renting out property. Probably one of the easiest things ever.
It's not in this day and age, man. It's actually really hard. And in fact, there's a reason why when you drive around, you see all these offices for rent.
Well,
apartments
in Los Angeles.
This is a renter's market, believe it or not. There's apartments available everywhere, which is really crazy. Like, what do they expect? How many people do they expect to move here? You know, there's so many extra apartments. You know, how many fucking people are still coming?
Right.
You know, when did you move here? What year was it?
99.
Do you notice a discernible difference between 99 and 2011 as far as traffic?
Less.
You think it's less now?
Less than, I noticed this, a year and a half ago. It's way less than 3 years before that.
That's because you just started smoking weed.
No.
It's because of the recession. You started looking at things different.
It's because of the recession.
Really? You think people are driving
less? I eventually noticed it because I had to stop doing a joke about that. I was like, why are the freeways so packed if everyone's supposed to be not working?
But then I was like, stop doing a joke. Dude, keep doing that joke. The freeways are goddamn packed.
No, I only noticed the opposite. I'm like, I'm getting to Brea way faster. I'm getting to all these places way faster.
Well, I think it's just luck. I think that's just someone not crashing. You fly over in the 405 at 5 in the afternoon.
Some traffic. It's just not, it doesn't seem as bad to me.
Orange County is the worst. That area, like, were you talking about Newport Beach?
Newport Beach is nice.
Getting down there is insane. Anytime we got to go to Irvine, you know, we're doing the Irvine Improv. Anytime we're doing that, I'm always like, oh,
yeah.
Here we go. I started going completely up and around.
Really?
Instead of going by the ocean, I take the 210. I go way the fuck out of my way. It's like 30 miles longer.
Oh, really?
It's way above. But you cruise. When you go away from the ocean, man, that's when you can just fucking make some traffic movement. You can make some movement. You can get some progress done if you go far away from the ocean. You got to go away from the ocean and up high. But as soon as you close in on that ocean, you get like 405.
Crams into the
and
spot.
It goes the like the 5 goes the direction of the ocean. It's all like along the shore. I mean, it's a couple miles in, but it's along the shore. It's you're traveling the same way that the ocean goes. And it's everybody going from Mexico to California and San Diego to California and every fucking weird town in between. There's just too many goddamn people. But if you just go up to the 210, you go up high, like take the 57 north and go up high, you can actually move.
Get all around it.
It's crazy, yeah. There's ways around it. You know, California is, it's way, 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 way easier to get to where you need to go than, like, say, New York. If you're in New York and you're fucked, say if you're in the Bronx and you need to get to Manhattan, you got a couple different bridges you can take and they're both fucked up.
Yeah,
or you can go in on the 95, you can do that, and that's going to be fucked up too.
That's a don't drive.
Yeah, good luck, stupid. Yeah, that city, to get into Manhattan is, like, I used to have an acting class that they made me take, and this lady was always mad because I was always, like, 20 minutes late.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, but it took me 2.5 hours to get here.
What?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh.
All the time.
Coming from where?
Coming from New Rochelle, which is like the Bronx. 2.5 hours was normal.
Whoa.
You would get on that highway, and it was one of those, they built highways so stupid on the East Coast, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't know there was going to be that many people there. So these highways are all like fucking 3 lanes on each side, 4 lanes at the most. They don't have these giant, expansive 405 style, 8-9 lane highways. They don't have them. They're small.
Yeah.
Especially Boston. I go on the Massachusetts Turnpike. I go on the Turnpike when I go back home, and I can't believe they call this a Turnpike. It's fucking 2 lanes on each side. It's ridiculously small. There's like, it's such a small little ass shitbag road. Like the way to get to the Cape, just like, my God, this little tiny ass road. They didn't anticipate that shit at all.
Nobody doesn't need that many people.
But that's not crazy. That long ago, man. Think about it. The invention of the automobile was only 100 years ago, right? A little bit more than that. Yeah. It was like the early 1800s. Is that what it was? When did Henry Ford? No, 1900s.
Those cities were always overcrowded. People moved right up to the roads immediately.
Yeah. When did the automobile get invented?
1941.
Yeah?
No.
I like how you just
did that. The Holocaust, yeah.
Automobile, let's see. The auto car. Let's see. What year was this motherfucker?
Is there a car, like an SUV, that gets super awesome gas mileage, like a Prius or anything like that yet?
Is there a car that gets awesome gas mileage?
Like an SUV type car yet?
They have hybrids, SUV hybrids.
Wow, sweat this. The first fucking steam powered vehicle was designed by this dude who was a Flemish member of a Jesuit mission in China in 1672.
Really?
Yeah. It was a scale model for the Chinese emperor. It wasn't able to carry a driver or a passenger, but this guy figured that out in 1672. That's fucking incredible. And then in 1752, some Russian dude constructed a human-pedaled four-wheeled auto-running carriage and proposed to equip it with an odometer to use the same principle for making a self-propelled
sledge. How long now would it take, once you design that steam-powered model, till you just fucking put it into practice in a real car? 8 years?
Today?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea, but it wouldn't take long. It wouldn't take as many years as it would back then. Back then, you had to make
8 years
your own,
before somebody even came up with something similar.
You had to make your own tools to work on it.
That's a good point.
You know, how about that?
You just can't go to Heckinger's.
Yeah, you can't just fucking go to Pet Boys.
They still have Heckinger's?
I think they went out of business.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that name.
That's crazy. Would that be? You would have to make a machine and then make the parts and then make the fucking tools to work in the machine.
Call a blacksmith.
So apparently it was like... They got their shit together, where you know it was like the late 1800s. Seems like they started really getting rocking cars. It. Yeah, I thought it was Henry Ford invented the car. Isn't that where we're always
was
told?
First, the first
mass produce it.
Yeah, mass produce.
Yeah.
What's
the line?
Manufacturing.
Because it says that Germany was the first an automobile powered by its own 4-stroke. Cycle gasoline engine was built in Mannheim, Germany in 1885.
Germany.
Could you imagine how fucking weird it must have been, like even thinking about other countries that are on the other side of the ocean in 1885? I mean, when we think about Germany or we think about England, at least for me, I've been there. I've been to both of them a couple of times.
When America seceded, people in England were like, I don't even know anyone who's even been there. I don't even know anyone.
Well, nobody knew anyone, because if you went there, you never went back. You know, it takes too long. It's months. Like, how much does it take? How long does it take on a boat to get to America?
A long time. Right and now, a lot of people, at least a week, right?
And a lot of people die along the way.
My dad took a boat here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
My grandparents did.
Yeah.
My grandparents both came by boat.
Did he sneak in?
He did not sneak in, no. He was.
They let Jews in, dude. They don't even need green cards. They go, come on in. We need more Jews.
Yeah.
But if you go, if you're an Arab or a Mexican, they go, hey, get in that room over here.
You know, Ari's doing more Amazing Racist videos.
Are you really?
Yeah. Just did some. Finally, Jews.
Brian said that with an unhappy tone. Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
Did you catch that? A judgmental tone.
I worry about little Ari.
What are you doing? What are the next ones?
Jews.
Okay, that's good.
That's good.
I went to
one of those.
Yeah, I went to a Jewish market.
White people in general are easy to pick on.
Yeah.
You should go only after white people with those.
It's hard. I thought for years of how to get to whites, and I can't think of anything.
That's easy.
There's no angle that gets them offended as a race.
What are you talking about?
It would have to be an individual thing, like a black guy married your daughter.
No flavor.
But how are you – that won't get them mad to say, look at me pointing out that white people have little dicks.
So what you're saying, what an angle to do for a sketch.
Yeah.
Let's throw it up on Twitter, man. People will come up with an angle for you.
Yeah. But the thing is, it would have to make them mad just seeing it. Like the Klan makes black people mad just
seeing
it.
The only way it's going to be making white people mad is if you make black people move into their neighborhood and start partying.
Yeah.
That's what would make
But that won't offend them as a race. When white people see that at home, they won't get offended.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Only the people in that neighborhood will be upset.
You do racist shit around black people, like wear a KKK outfit, and they want to beat your ass. They're offended. But you can't do
that
to
white
people.
Just by the image, they get upset about it. Yeah.
It's true. White people dominated, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there's a lot of white people that are just cool with
it. You say unfortunately, but look, if you want to look historically.
I'd way rather be on Team Win.
Yeah. And, and as far as, like, giant groups of people that run shit, what are the options? There's white people, black people, Asians, and Arabs, right? Those are the options of giant groups of
people
that are running
people,
shit.
Asians, Arabs, yeah.
Right? Those are the entire groups. And Gays. If you look at all of them, it nice seems thing. Like if America is the one that's run by the white people, it seems like you can get away with the most corporate crime, but it seems like pretty hard on the other kind of crime. And
China, you get away with a lot of corporate crime.
Yes.
They just bootleg stuff.
It's because they blend in so easily.
Yeah, they're just
like
we don't have any copyright laws.
They're human racist camouflage.
Did you hear what they did? They had fake Apple stores selling fake Apple products, and the employees, the people that were working there, actually thought they were working for Apple.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's actually not against the law for them to do that, but they have to get the special permits, and only three of the stores or two of the stores actually had the permits, and the other ones didn't.
Isn't that hilarious? Hilarious.
Yeah.
But if you looked at that, like, it seems like China would be way suppressive. But then you got to look at it and go, well, yeah, maybe it's because there's a billion fucking people over there, man.
Yeah, they're like, if you got a copy of the fucking Matrix, I guess copy it and sell it to people.
They got other shit to worry about. When there's a billion fucking people and everybody's eating bugs, there's no food, you know? You go over to China, man, they eat bugs. You know, it's true. They eat a lot of other things, but they eat a lot of bugs. It's real common.
They feed kimchi soy sauce to their babies in bottles.
Really? Kimchi sauce?
Mm-hmm.
What?
No.
How dare you? I was like, I love kimchi, but it's so spicy. I was thinking about
that's hilarious.
It's funny how babies have taste buds, though, for certain shit. Like my littlest baby, the one that's only a year and 3 months, she loves spicy shit. She'll eat,
really?
Yeah, she grabs pepperoni, wow. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh, she's going to hate this. She's like, nom, 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 give me more. Like, she got some hot sauce the other day and loved it.
Which one?
The little one, the wow. tiny one.
She doesn't yeah. have, maybe she doesn't have the burn buds yet.
Yeah. It wasn't real hot. It was like Tapatio. Uh-huh. But it was on that's like a little spicy. Piece of chicken. Yeah. It was a little piece of chicken, and she fucking dug in, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Train her now.
Spicy yeah. garlic sauce. It was like a really garlicky sauce. She was licking it up. She liked it. It's weird.
Nice.
But the other one, man, fuck, you can't get anything. Just start crying. Spicy, spicy. Yeah. Like mild ass yeah. Indian food. Super mild. She'll start crying.
I made my grandfather's pickle recipe. We did it again. Me and Taylor did it. And
it came spicy out right. pickles?
Yeah, I didn't put in five times as much too salt by accident.
You put five times too much?
Yeah, when we made them, I put two cups in instead of like two pinches. It was like something ridiculous.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I still try to eat through those pickles. I'm like, I made them. I'm going to give them a go. But yeah, so this horrible. Time it came out right. They're so good. And they're so spicy. You get the sweat under the eyes.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good. But it's, oh.
I was wondering what was it. Wrong. Those I'm pickles, so like, it. We would eat one because we spent, like, what, a month doing this
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, leave them out in the sun.
And then we would eat them, like, yeah, it's good.
There's my favorite all-time hot sauce is El Yucateca. You know uh-huh. that shit?
The, yeah,
the Mexican
that.
Hot sauce.
They had that the green, at the griddle.
The green habanero.
Yeah, that's good.
I forgot how good it was until we started doing Fear Factor again because the caterers always have
oh, yeah.
shit. And the caterers had some, and I threw some on some carne asada the other day. I'm like, God damn, this is good. It's just so flavorful and powerful. But that's like the real, legit yeah. Mexican shit. It's got a Spanish label. That's the real shit.
You can get that for like 30 cents a bottle.
Yeah, it's amazing how many different cultures have just like so much different flavor to their foods.
Yeah.
You know, like Mexican food is just like you know, there's a certain style
so
of
flavorful.
Cooking and eating. Yeah. Spicy as fuck. Some of their salsa is incredible. And then, you know, you look at like Irish food. It's like boiled potatoes, boiled corned beef, you know, boiled sauerkraut.
Yeah. That's why the Italians have the, what's a lot of it as a result of their like, industries and stuff. Like the Italians were all poor,
mm-hmm.
so they just made pasta. It's the cheapest, easiest stuff to make, and
yeah, and fills your stomach.
Yeah, and they just shape it differently. That's the only variety you get is by shaping it slightly differently.
It is really amazing when you think about how the food defines how people behave too. Like connected to how you feel like they behave. Like Italians are all about passion, and their food is very passionate, and rich, and delicious, and flavorful. But then you go with the Irish, and they're saying, "Hey, have another beer." They're just watering themselves down with beer and smoking cigarettes. And looking at how ugly the women are. Like, hey. Meanwhile, Irish people listen to this podcast are very angry at me right
what
now.
What are you talking about?
It's okay. I'm ugly, too. Passionate. We're all ugly. But I'm passionate, too, Mike. Northern Ireland is the craziest place I've ever been, where you drive around and...
It was just fighting?
Well, there's a lot of fighting in Ireland. I saw a lot of fighting. God. But one of the things in Northern Ireland that was really crazy is that all the cars are armored. They all have these giant plates of steel all around because they had to deal with a lot of bombings. Yeah. The whole IRA thing, the Protestants versus the Catholics. It was like there's been most people in America are unaware of how much Ireland and Northern Ireland, how much they went through. You know, there was an incredible amount of bloodshed over there. And because of that, like when we went out, I did a gig with my boy Dave Bishop, and then we went out and we went out to some fucking local place, and the cars that were all around us, it was like we were in a fucking Mad Max movie.
Why? They're all like old cars?
No, they're all covered with steel. Like they're armored. Like
for,
they have
for guns?
The windows for bombs.
Oh.
The windows of the cop cars had steel mesh over them.
Oh, the
and there was
cars.
Like plates and plates in the front of the car and plates on the side.
Wow.
They were like
wow.
these big armored fucking crazy shells over their cop cars. I was like, wow. What a fucking weird place this is. And you couldn't understand a goddamn word anybody said. It's amazing that they call that shit English. I talked to some dude in a club. We were in there's a little bar downstairs at the hotel we were all staying at. And we were all drinking with this dude. And he was talking to me for 2 hours. And all I heard, the whole 2 hours, the only words I heard was, "I'll fight any man." He was talking to me about fighters. "I'll see if I'm tired of this fucking chocolate dough. I'll tell you right now. I'll fight any man. I'd fight any man." Just drinking and talking about how he'll fight any man. He really would. He would have fought anyone. Anyone in front of
really
him, he would
have
just got his ass. "Oh, fucking come on, let's do it.
Hand it to him."
He'll bite you and fucking try to claw your eyes out. It's so dreary over there, man. I've never eaten at a place that had worse food. Northern Ireland, we had Chinese food there that was like, it was Chinese literally like food. Dogs and cats and pigeons. It was fucking terrible.
Was their porridge good at least? Was there anything that was good?
You know, like eggs. You can't fuck up eggs. So I had a lot of eggs there. But it was, that's the, I mean, it could obviously be just where I went. But the parts that I went, you know, I got the worst food ever. I mean, we stayed at a nice hotel. Food was terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, that just like it was off. Like you're eating the beef and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this beef? Like it tastes, this is a piece of steak, but it tastes like completely different. Like in Australia, their beef is completely different than American beef. And it's good. It's very good. Don't get me wrong. Australia is fantastic.
What,
Sydney.
Free range?
I've been to Sydney twice. It's amazing. No, because I've had free range too. I eat grass-fed beef. That's what most of the time I eat. I like corn-fed because it's fattier and you get a little bit more fat in the cooking. But there's a flavor to grass-fed that I prefer. And it's a healthier animal for sure. Because when you're giving them corn, that is completely outside of their diet. In the natural world, it's a grain as opposed to a grass. So their bodies get super fat and disgusting. That's why they're so delicious.
They said that grass-fed meat is actually fat-burning.
Really?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It has the opposite effect on your system.
Makes sense because we're not supposed to be, you know, eating an animal that's been force-fed some fucked-up food to keep it fat. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a weird thing, man. But the difference is, you know, the food over in Australia, like the beef was delicious, the steak was delicious, but it was like pink inside. It was like a piece of pork chop. It was a completely different shade. Yeah, it was a way lighter shade. Because like when I get a medium rare steak, you cut into it and you see that juicy red fucking savage flesh and you're, but meanwhile, this is like a pork chop. I was like, this is like white in there. It was very good, but it was like, this is weird, you know? England, it looked like steak. It looked similar when I was cutting it open, but it tasted different. It tasted like it was sick or something.
They just don't put any spice in it or something.
Not in England, excuse me, Northern Ireland. I've had some great food in England. People say that the food in England is bad, but it's nothing compared to Northern Ireland. I've had some delicious food.
They have amazing restaurants in England, right?
England's got some great places. It's just, you know, when you go to a place and the food's different. Yeah. You know, like when you go get breakfast, like English breakfast, you get an English breakfast, they bring you beans.
Have you ever had crumpets?
Yes.
They're awesome.
They're pretty good. But English breakfast, they give you beans and they call bangers, and bangers are sausage. And like a broiled tomato all the time. It's always
your breakfast.
I hate broiled tomatoes.
I don't get that broiling a tomato.
What is that?
Super
is that
common.
Like falling apart.
There.
Is that the deal with Zenko?
Yeah.
Ew, yeah.
I hate that.
Well, it falls
shit.
Apart a little. It's just a little cooked. But I don't get it. I don't. But just give me a piece of fucking tomato. Like, is tomato? Do you have to improve the flavor of tomato by cooking it?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's something you start liking when you're like 70.
Yeah, probably.
It's not like a zucchini. Huh. Like if you grill zucchini, it tastes kind of cool. You know, it tastes different.
Yeah.
If you grill a tomato, it's not better. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I met a Scottish comic who was like 23 in Montreal. You couldn't understand a word he said.
Impossible.
It was like people were trying, like laughing at the idea of his accent, and then it was just like, we don't understand any of this, and it's all English.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting that the English language has, you know, if you go to all these different parts of the globe.
Yeah.
And hear the variations from like southern Georgia to northern Ireland, you know, and you hear the variations of the same words and what, you know, what we use and don't use. I mean, it really is almost like it's a bunch of different languages. Like it's getting close. It's getting close to like morphing off into its own separate branch. If people were separate, the thing that fucked everybody.
Yeah, they'll all change separately.
Yeah. But they're connected now. You know, now it's like people are inexorably connected with the internet, with, you know, mass media. You can hear the way people use those words all over the world. And they're gonna stay reasonably close to the way they are now. But if people weren't connected, you know, if they were separated by big chunks of, you know, water or something like that, they would probably develop to a bunch of different languages.
Yeah.
Probably
completely different over time. Because you think it's a Scottish. Have you ever read Trainspotting?
Yes.
I watched that last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know how it's written in vernacular?
Uh-huh.
It's like you have to like piece together what they're saying.
Right.
The accent. It's like eventually that would sort of become the written language.
Yes.
And then eventually certain words that you have completely different words, like the lift in England for the elevator, you would just start using those words and it'd become a different language. Still with our numerals or something.
Some guy was there was some guy was on the radio the other day and he was talking about how diverse the England is and how many different languages are spoken in England because they were talking about the riots.
Yeah.
And they were talking about 300 different languages. And I went, "What? Three? I didn't even know there were 300 languages." How many? I thought there was probably like 30 languages.
There's like a bunch of Indians.
Bunch of different Indian languages? You mean American Indian India?
No, like India.
Really?
I think there's like a bunch, like 30 or 40 there.
Jesus Christ.
I think some of those you might be able to understand. Like if you know one, you might be able to understand a couple others, like Spanish and Italian. Like there's a lot of
Well, how wacky is China that there's a bunch all in the same country? A bunch of different ways to talk Chinese.
Yeah. I thought it was just two. I thought it was
Cantonese and Mandarin.
Yeah.
But isn't there various dialects of each one of them?
Yeah, probably are. The areas are so huge.
So a person who speaks Cantonese can't understand a person who speaks Mandarin at all?
I think it's a completely different language, but I don't
know. That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, who the fuck came up with language first? Did we know what the oldest language was?
No.
No. We know about written. We know the oldest written shit, as far as we know today, is Sumer. They think it's Sumerian text. 6,000? That's the oldest shit we've ever seen written down. But what throws that into fucked up, makes it questionable, is this new thing they found in Turkey. Over the last couple of decades, they found this new site in Turkey called Göbekli Tepe. And Göbekli Tepe. And it's at least 6,000 years older than Sumer. And it's all like really intricately carved, and there's
Do they have language there?
We don't know though. No, that's the thing. This is 6,000 years earlier, but they didn't find any language. They just found
a lot less survived.
Well, who knows? You know, it's like when you find a culture that's that fucking old, you're lucky you're finding anything.
Yeah.
You know, the land eats everything. If you left a car alone for 16,000 years. There's no car left when you come back.
It'll
man.
Turn to sand.
Yeah, it'll get absorbed by the earth slowly but surely, one little speck at a time. I mean, if you've ever gone to an old junkyard and you see a car from like 1940, literally it's falling apart. There's holes in it. It's dissolving.
It's so rusty, it's just burned through.
It'll dissolve. And the earth will eat it.
And the metal just goes back into the ground.
The metal just becomes dirt.
It becomes a
part of the soil. You know, when we look at a culture that's that old, you only find rock. You're not going to find anything else. You might find some carbon from a fire. You know, you might find some arrowheads and shit like that. Yeah. But it's got to be hard rock or fossils. You know, you're going to find like bodies, like human bodies in a semi-fossilized state. That's just too long ago.
Yeah.
You're not going to find any paper. If they made paper, good luck. Yeah, you won't find it. Gone. You're not going to find any metal tools. Those are gone. The earth ate those.
I thought of something that was really big the other day about one of your theories about, you know, how like civilization started over type thing. I met that robot, not me, but I saw that robot at Disneyland, the Honda robot, the And I got to see it run and do the stare thing. I'm looking at it and I'm like, one day this thing's going to kill me, you know, and stuff like that. You know, they're going to make robots and it's going to turn on you and stuff like that. And what if, like, the robots kill the whole entire human race, and then, you know, like a virus or something like that destroys all the robots and kills all the robots, and then 1,000 years later, there's nothing, all the, you know, robots turn to sand because, like, they disintegrate, and then there's two people, like, humans, like, hiding in a cave somewhere, you know, living off the dead bodies and smoking crack, and then they make a kid, and they're, like, Jesus and stuff like that, and they rebuild the whole race again, but they're so fucked up on crap and stupid because they were, like, just living in a cave the whole time that then the human race starts over again. We try to build robots again, and then they kill us off again into other crack addicts in the caves. That's what I was thinking that Disneyland
super stole. Possible.
That's the entire plot of Battlestar Galactica.
It is. The
really?
Cylons.
Oh,
yeah, the Cylons take over. And you know what? It's a very possible plot. The idea that we can make intelligent life, and we're super close to doing that. We're super close to having some sort of an artificial intelligence that you can communicate with that actually even develops emotions. They're going to have like emotional responses programmed into these fucking things. And for us to be arrogantly assuming that that's never going to be a problem because they're not really live. They're not really. But if we create a system that responds as if it was alive, you know, if that system has self-realization, if that system becomes sentient and realizes that it has to protect itself, and then it defends itself against another system. That is just as alive as a virus. It's just as alive as an animal that wants to eat you. It's just as alive as anything. That's alive, man. You've created something that exists right now. Yes, it may not have cells and bone as you think of life, but it's responding and moving and interacting, and it's intelligent. And you've actually made this fucking thing a brain. You've built this thing the ability to interact with other brains, other technologically created brains, and you've got a whole network of beings, beings that have it within their best interest to keep you dead and them alive. That's all super duper possible. Yeah. It just seems so foreign to us. It seems preposterous because our lives, our whole lives, the way we have looked at machines is like, this is some shit people made. We have full control of it. We have full, we're completely arrogant about it. We have full control over the stuff we make.
Have you ever seen that robot run? It leaves the ground for just like a human. When you run, actually there's a point where both of your feet are off the ground.
Yeah.
It does the same thing. Yep. It was amazing.
It's amazing. And it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning. It's like iRobot. iRobot is going to be legit, man. They're really going to have a robot that is as functional as a human body. It's going to move like a human body, but it's going to be metal and replaceable, and you know, it's going to have artificial tissue that won't break or rip or tear, but it'll look like human tissue. It's going to be incredible. It's just a matter of time. If you look at 1800 and what people had in 1900 in the beginning of this century in 2000, and then compare it to 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously been some radical changes in 1900 to 2000 to 2011. There's radical changes. And those radical changes, you took the cream of the crop shit that we have today, like a fucking helicopter and a 911 turbo, and you brought them to 1600. There's no way if Leonardo da Vinci sat and looked at that, he could have ever predicted a 911 turbo. He would get in that thing and be like, what the fuck? Like, wow, really? This is fucking crazy. Like, think of someone who, like, Da Vinci invented so many crazy things, you know, had drawings for flying machines and all sorts of different things that he created. But if you showed him what actually occurred in our lifetime, which we completely take for granted.
Gun turrets.
It's like space 1999 shit. It's like science fiction. So for sure, if these guys are making robots like this Honda robot, which is amazing, in 2011, 2011, oh, fuck, man, it is going to be like Blade Runner.
As long as I'm dead, I don't.
You might not be dead. That's the crazy thing. With the science and technology the way it is today, you might not be dead at all. There might be a renew pill where you can take within our lifetime that renews your cells and reprograms your DNA to behave as if it's young.
You know what they're going to have? They're going to have a vaccine for aging at some point. So the people that haven't had it, you have to take it when they're like really a baby. So people who haven't got the vaccine are all going to die.
Maybe. Right. That's a possibility.
Stop aging. Yeah. You're just going to watch them all go.
More likely, they'll manipulate the fact that the cells recreate themselves every 7 years. Everything except the neurons is completely replaced every 7 years. So what they'll do is they'll reprogram all these cells to come back fresh and young. And that's what they'll do. So over a 7-year period, you'll take this shit, and over a 7-year period, you'll go from being some old lady to some hot young 20-year-old bitch. Bam, bam.
Or if you that'd be cool. If you just didn't get older. You know, like you whatever time you took that.
That's possible,
you know,
too.
That's probably because I doubt you're.
That's
going to
be the beginning. Oh, it will. It will. No, no question about it. Just think what I said. If your tissue could recreate itself, the thing is, you got to get it to recreate itself in a state that's not damaged, like scars.
Right.
Like if you think about it, if you have a scar, I have a scar, a big one on my finger that I got when I was like 9. Yeah. So that scar's still here when I'm 44.
Yeah.
Why is it still here? Why is it still here if everything's recreating? Because it's recreating in this like damaged state. Well, you would have to get your cells to not recreate in a state of an old person who's fucking engine's misfiring. You want to get it
scientists.
To a mature person of around 25 years of age physically. That's what you want.
I think it's more like they're just going to take your head off RoboCop style and put you on a RoboCop body, and then they're going to find a way to like pause your brain and all your shit. And
I don't think it'll be a biological solution if it gets to that. I think it'll be a matter of recreating your consciousness in a form of like a computer code.
Yeah.
You know, if an operating system works for the Mac and an operating system works for the PC, what the fuck is a human being? What is the driving mechanism behind what makes a person want to eat and fuck and be successful and be curious? And what the fuck is under the surface? Is it just a bunch of ones and zeros? And if it's not, is it possible to exactly recreate it with a bunch of ones and zeros? That's the real question. Is it possible to take a human being's consciousness and completely recreate it to the point where all of a sudden you're switched on? And, you know, you're switched on in this body. Like, you wake up one day and you don't even fucking know that you are a computer code in a machine. And that your entire life is absolutely, completely, 100% artificial. Yeah. It's just being fed to this computer code through this, you know, this program that someone has created.
Yeah.
That's not, like, completely ridiculous. That's not, like, is even as ridiculous as time travel. And that's not ridiculous, you know? I mean, although there's some scientists that believe that you can never bypass the speed of light, so time travel will be impossible. But I think they just say that for now. I think there's nothing that's going to eventually not be possible. I think it'll just be a matter of how much power can we generate in order to manipulate our surroundings to make everything possible. It's a matter of time. Like I said, you know, what's impossible today was not, I mean, what was impossible 200 years ago is not impossible today. So when that's you hear scientists thing. Saying that this is impossible, that doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means as far as what we know now. And we don't know shit. You know, we know a lot. I mean, we're brilliant in comparison to cavemen, but in comparison to understanding just the very nature of the universe and when you, you know, subatomic particles, and they lose all fucking rules go out the window when you go subatomic. You know, they have things called, where a particle can be in a super state, where it's in a state of moving and it's still at the same time. What the fuck does that even mean? And the idea that you can look at something, and as you're looking at it, you change the behavior of it, and that you can watch an event, and the observer actually changes the actual atoms that are moving. And what the fuck? How is that possible? We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. So to say that people know a lot, yeah, we know a lot for people. We know a lot for people. But there's some shit that we don't understand at all. They don't even know why the universe stays together. They don't know why it doesn't just fly apart. You know, this dark matter thing is like, you know, that's they don't know what the fuck that is. That's they're just
it's
guessing.
It's probably just vinegar or something like that.
They've realized it is probably like douche vinegar. You know what they figured out? They figured out that there's some sort of an antimatter like layer to the Van Allen radiation belts. That there's a layer of antimatter out there.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck that means, but that's incredible that there's some shit that they've been talking about using for weapons forever. They've been talking about antimatter weapons forever, because if you could conceivably create an antimatter weapon, it would be just as big of a leap as nuclear weapons were to, like,
just
arrows.
Not there.
Yeah, things just fucking go bye-bye.
It'd just be cool, too.
Could you imagine?
Phase was the kill.
Imagine if we went to, like, Afghanistan, if they tried antimatter weapons on Afghanistan, and we went there, and Afghanistan was like a bowl, a ceramic bowl, like white and shiny, and there was literally nothing else there. It was like the whole thing was just white and shiny, like ceramic.
Yeah.
That's not outside the realm of possibilities.
You know why? Because we already
did. Yeah. Yeah, we did that.
Everyone, this is what I realized today, I was talking to Tony, but it was like, everyone's like, oh, we can't trust the Russians with nuclear weapons. We can't trust the Chinese with nuclear weapons, the Koreans. It's like, we're the only ones that have set them off.
Yeah.
We're the only ones, and we did it twice.
Oh, no, Russians have detonated them for practice.
Against people.
Yeah, we're the only ones against people.
And we're like, oh, we can't trust them with it. We can't trust us.
We're
the ones we can't trust.
It's, well, you
they
say
shouldn't
we're,
trust us.
It's as us and we're. These are people that existed a long time ago. I mean,
you
the idea
up,
that we're on
civilians.
A team with those douchebags.
I didn't do shit.
Just they didn't just blow up civilians. The word is that the Japanese were trying to surrender for a long time, man.
And they said no because they wanted to test it?
Well, they wanted to fucking do it.
Yeah.
It was not really a test. They wanted to let everybody know what's up.
Twice.
Drop bombs and
once
your moms.
Once wasn't enough. They had to do another one.
Car alarms. The idea that you're going to take this fucking thing that harnesses the power of the sun, and you're just going to drop it on some people you don't even know. And it's okay because we're at war. This is like... These aren't soldiers. These are just some people going about their business.
Yeah, people are like, I don't know how to get involved with politics.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're obliterated. They never were.
Isn't it crazy they didn't even have jet engines back there? They had a propeller plane. And they dropped it out of this propeller plane.
And then they had to do a 360 or 180, excuse me, and fucking get out of there.
Is that what they had to do?
The bomb would follow, like physics bomb follows the plane.
How high up would they let it go?
I don't know.
It's amazing they have video footage of that.
Of them doing it.
Yeah.
Drop.
They must have got fucked up by radiation, no?
Probably, right?
Probably.
As soon as it hit, it fucking went.
There's so many people that got fucked up by radiation.
I wonder how long those guys lived.
It's a good question.
Pilots.
Well, they, you know, you've seen, we've talked about it, I talk about it on stage, the videos of guys running towards the blasts, like the army, where they used to blow off bombs and have them run towards the bomb. They did that a lot, you know, and obviously that would never happen today. Have you tried to get an American soldier today to run towards a blast? Towards he's going to shoot you in the dick.
Towards a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, he's going to be like, what?
No one's coming out of there, man. Let's just wait here.
I'm going to run towards that for a test. We know now. The average person knows that that shit will kill you.
Officer Kardashian, I want you to run past that.
I watched the Kim Kardashian commercial. She was showing some clothes that she had. And she was talking about how she likes this look and likes that look. And sometimes I wear this and I wear it with a dress. I wear it with a jacket because it makes it a little bit more saucy. And I'm like, wow. Like,
why is anyone listening to you on anything?
You vapid.
Isn't it amazing how many people sponsor her or how many?
It's incredible.
Her face is on everything. If you walk through JCPenney's or Macy's or whatever it is, you'll see her face a million times for a million different products.
And magazines, man.
Yeah.
Every fucking magazine has her face on the cover. It's incredible. The girl's making bank. You can't hate her for that. You can't hate her for any of it. I don't hate her. She's just so dumb. It's so amazing that we have fixated on this. And, you know, she has a very pretty face, don't get me wrong, but it's always getting worked on. Like, every now and then it'll get all puffy and shit because she's getting injections and there's all these before and after pictures.
As long as it looks
good. It does look good, but it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's certain girls that just look like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Like, she has this face where, like, especially when she was young, like, you just look at it and you go, wow, like, that is a perfect symmetrical face.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand that face being everywhere. And this girl, Kim Kardashian, she's pretty. She's hot. She's got some big titties and a big ass and everything. It's all good. But it's not that good enough to be focusing so much time on it. It's not that. It's like people are addicted to her. It's like it's cigarettes. It's like cigarettes aren't that good. You know, you smoke one in the beginning when you've never smoked a cigarette. You're like, why would I keep doing this? Yeah. But after a while, you get addicted to it. And it becomes something you're used to. Now, it's like these magazines are addicted to putting Kim Kardashian everywhere. Yeah. It's like you're making a big deal out of absolutely nothing. She's just a person. It's not bad, not hating her. She's just a girl out there, you know, getting hers by, you know, being in a show that follows her around. But once you start following someone around and you start tuning into that, man, it's like tricky. It is like addictive. They become it's like you get programmed with wanting to know, well, there's a conflict going on with her and her sister's boyfriend. I wonder how they're going to resolve that.
Yeah, you want to watch them. You just get addicted. You can't help it.
Yeah.
She just tried to sue Old Navy because a friend of ours, Melissa, or a friend of mine is Melissa Molinaro.
Do I know her?
Well, she's friends of Aubrey's, and I don't think you ever met her.
Okay.
But she was on an Old Navy commercial, and she's just singing and dancing. It was a commercial, the Kardashian or Kim Kardashian said, "No, that's people think that's me." You know,
Does she look like her?
And so she tried to sue Old Navy.
Does she look like her?
Whoa. She does kind of look like her. She looks like a hotter version of Kim Kardashian.
Well, wait, how could you say that?
She's pretty hot.
But that's ridiculous. How could you say that this is what the girl looks like? You're not allowed to use this girl. This girl looks like that, but you're not allowed to use her because she looks too much like me.
Kim Kardashian used to do ads for them?
I don't think so.
Even if she did, so fucking what?
Yeah, and it's not like
this girl is her own face.
Yeah.
You can't sue someone for using a pretty girl's face because that pretty girl happens to look like you. So what, that pretty girl's never allowed to work again?
Yeah.
Because she looks too much like you?
If they're trying to replace her. If they're trying to say, like, this
even so what? So what, dude? If even if they were trying to replace her, if this girl has her own face and this company chooses, you know what? I like this girl. She looks like Kim Kardashian, but she's prettier and she's unknown. Let's use her. That's, so they should be more than allowed to do that.
When they dropped her as a spokesman, but they used her voice anyway?
No, that's different. Here's a perfect example. Say, what if someone decides to do some sort of a video game or something about Fear Factor, and they have a dude pretend to be me, and he looks kind of like me, and he talks kind of like me, and they say it's me. Well, then I can sue them.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Then I can say, hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
But if you decide to do Fear Factor and you go and get some dude who looks like me and he's good at it and he just does it, I can't sue you. He's just doing. Even if he's imitating me, even if he's imitating me, if he replaces me, if he replaces me and he's doing the show the way I do the show, I still can't sue him.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that's wrong. If they're trying to pass someone off as you.
Yeah, but
they're not.
Kim Kardashian. Does she even sing?
Okay. Well, what if it says, you know, Fred fucking suck. You know, the host of Fear Factor. This is Fred fucking Suck just happens to look like me.
That'd probably be the problem, whether or not they were trying to pass it off as her or not.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I don't know. That's why I asked if she was in an Old Navy commercial.
Here's the thing. You're protecting this giant multimillionaire celebrity image when there's a girl who just wants to work.
Yeah.
And she happens to look like this girl. She should be able to work.
Yeah.
This girl should not have to, you know, she can't do a shoe ad because she looks too much like Kim Kardashian, and Kim Kardashian does a shoe ad, and it, you know, it makes the K-Swiss people think that she's cheating on them or something, or whoever the fuck she makes shoes for. You know what I mean? Like, that's not cool. You don't own other people's face because they look similar to you. I'm like, what if a Chinese person tried to do that? Right?
There's no copyright laws in China.
Well, what Brian was talking, I mean, if they tried to do it in America, I mean, is Brian talking about how many Chinese people, there's so much less variation in their appearance.
Maybe that's why there's no copyright laws in China. Because they're like, how are you going to prove you're you?
Right. Well, not only that, it's just so ridiculous that you would be able to copyright your image when your image is exactly the same image as everybody else's.
Yeah.
You know, if there's 1 billion men in China and 400 million look like you.
Yeah.
You know, holy shit, dude.
Remember Buck Rogers when they came on that planet that everyone looked alike and it was illegal to wear masks?
Really?
It was illegal to take your mask off.
Really?
Because everyone went crazy because all the boys looked like all the other boys and all the girls looked like all the other girls.
Buck Rogers. Is this like the really, really old Buck Rogers?
No, it wasn't the black and white. It was with Chewie or whatever the robot's name was. The little guy that like waddled.
Chewie?
Not Chewie. Why wasn't that? It was like a little Twiggy or something.
Twiggy? How many different Twiggy? Buck Rogers did they do?
It was one with the guy from Silver Spoons.
Twiggy's the cute little robot.
Yeah, that's
silver
it.
One.
Yeah, that's the one.
He was
it's
gay.
The one with the guy from the Silver Spoons.
The robots back then would just...
Oh, no, the mom from Silver Spoons. What?
Remember the robots would always roll around? They would always roll because we couldn't see the move because they couldn't get that technology.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the robots would always...
I could just slide by you evenly.
But you remember Lost in Space? Warning! Oh, remember that robot? That robot was stupid as fuck. He looked like a popcorn maker.
Yeah.
He had these big claws for fingers. He's useless fucking clamps.
And by the way, if you landed in any planet, that robot would get stuck instantly. If it wasn't completely paved evenly, he has no chance.
He can't
of
even get around.
Down.
It was stupid. He rolled around. They had the technology to get to another planet, but they couldn't make an effective robot. A robot that can actually walk. He's rolling around. Warning.
That was the state of the art for a while, right?
Yeah. And these fucking people, we're supposed to believe they're just stuck out there in space, and they keep landing on places where they can breathe the air. Oh, lucky us. We can breathe the air out here.
Oh, here we are again.
And they're hanging out with the one gay guy. That was the first gay guy on television. Remember?
He was always alone with the kids.
Yeah, he was always alone with the kids, and he was always like the father would fucking quiet him down real quick, and he would be all upset.
Ruining my nap time.
Yeah. And he was never a threat to fuck the wife, ever.
No.
The wife was hot as fuck all out there in space. Really,
leave the
two
of them
men
alone together all
supposed
day
to
long.
Be competing for this one woman, you know?
Yeah.
Like in, what is it, fucking The Walking Dead series. Yeah. The two cops.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting over the same woman. That's how it goes in the real jungle, bitches. That's how it goes. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Yeah, man. If there's a zombie apocalypse, I'd like to die, please.
Oh, yeah. I just want to be wiped out. Just, why live through
it? Yeah. If there's like a meteor impact and the meteor contains spores that turns the survivors into zombies, please land on my head.
Yeah.
Just let's get it over.
End this.
Yeah, let's end this nice and quickly, please.
Have you ever seen The Road?
I watched it until the video. I bought the Blu-ray. I watched it until he was teaching the boy how to shoot himself in the mouth.
Shoot himself in the face.
And I said, okay.
So
I shut it off.
So
and I said,
get raped before he gets killed.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want this in my mind.
Yeah. I read the book.
Yeah. I remember when you were reading it. You were absorbed, dude. You were reading when we were on the road. He'd be sitting next to you on the plane, just like rolling his eyes. Like,
it's the first book I read in a decade. Yeah, we were in some airport. We were taking two planes a day for like 7 days or four days.
Oh, that was the Canadian tour that we went on. Yeah,
and no direct flights at all.
Well, we were up in the boondocks, man. Yeah. We did Grand Prairie and...
Grand Prairie, yeah.
All those weird spots. We did like weird mining towns and shit.
I met somebody from Grand Prairie. I was like, oh, I played there once. And they were like, no, you didn't. And I was like, I swear I did. Like, yeah. No, you didn't.
That's funny. They didn't believe you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, bitch, we played.
Yeah, we're staying like very light till like 11:30 at night.
I'll go anywhere, bro.
Yeah.
I'll go to Grand Prairie for the experience.
For the experience?
Yeah. It's a weird place up there, man. You know, when you're those weird, those are the spots that, that people only get to go outside for a few months a year. It's a completely different vibe.
I met the owner of Yuck Yucks, and he challenged me to go to one of those places in the winter.
You'd be crazy. Don't do it.
He was like, experience it, man. See what it's like.
You could die.
Try.
You could die.
Really?
Yeah, I have a buddy, one of the people that I work with on Fear Factor, who did Ice Road Truckers.
Yeah.
And he went to some place up there where they were driving their, they drive their trucks across the fucking lakes, frozen yeah. lakes. Like, it's crazy shit. 40 below zero it was outside.
Wow.
Yeah. He said he fucked up as and long he as I'm left his gloves in the car.
Oh, no.
And he tried to manipulate something with his hands. His hands were getting stuck to the metal because it was so cold.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Crazy, man. How? Crazy.
There's no way you'd get laid in an environment like that. You'd have to go back to your house so fast. You couldn't even, like, I'm not going to a bar tonight.
Amazing. Yeah, 40 fucking below zero. So, in these places, when you, you know, you go there in the summertime, man, it's like there's a, like, a happiness to the people.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
so happy that you can go outside and not die.
Yeah.
Didn't you feel it? You feel like a joy.
All summer long, it's, everyone's like, oh, we just love this. Yeah. You're kayaking and breathing the air. It's amazing.
I wonder if they appreciate life better. I've always thought about that.
They appreciate the summer better, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We're always in the summer, man.
Yeah. I don't appreciate it that much, although I really do.
First time I stayed here, man, I stayed here with my friend Gary Valentine. I was doing something for MTV, and they gave me a room with two beds, and Gary was up here for some audition, so he crashed with me.
Yeah.
And we got up every day, and we were like, another fucking shitty day in paradise. Like, yeah. We were in our young 20s. Like, I was like 24 or 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is fucking incredible. Because we were living in New York, where every day was gray. You know, yeah. From good luck. From October to March, most of the fucking sky is just gray, and it sucks. And it's either it's raining or it's snowing or it just sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so you get so used to this no rain, no snow, no have to deal with weather. But I think that when you take out nature as a variable, you don't have to consider nature, people get like real cocky. They get real, you know what I'm saying? Which is one of the reasons why the L.A. douche. Soft. Like when you think of L.A. douches, at least I think of people who are, I think of them as not just being soft, but delusional about their hardness. Like he's an L.A. douche. You know, L.A. douches like always think they're tougher than they are, always think they're smarter than they are. They're cocky. There's something cocky. And I think part of that is because they're never humbled by the weather.
Explain Watts.
Explain Watts. It's black people. It's a totally different vibe.
You're right.
Totally different vibe.
Good point.
I was talking about I was coming home from a fire once. One time we were filming Fear Factor and we were driving and it was during the crazy wildfires.
I was coming home from a fire once.
It was a fire.
Yeah.
We had to evacuate and we had finished the stunt. We got done in time, but when we got on the highway for an hour, I mean a full hour of going 55 miles an hour. Like, not fast. No one was driving fast, but it was highway speeds. The whole right side of the highway was engulfed in flames as far as you could see. It was crazy. But one of the things I remember is how polite everybody was. People were using their blinkers, and people were waving. And I looked around, and everybody was scared and slack-jawed. When you deal with snow, like if you go up to Maine during a snowstorm, I was driving up north during a snowstorm and my car broke down and I had to like hang out with the people in the toll booth. Like they took me in because it was too cold for me to be outside. They hooked me up but everybody was friendly. Can we get you some coffee? You know, like why? Because they're all banding together, you know, because there's this fucking crazy thing outside that could kill all the people.
Has not been my experience with New Yorkers and Bostoners.
Yeah, there's a lot of the urban pressure that comes with that too. The giant numbers of people is a problem because people get dehumanized by the pressure. But I think overall people on the East Coast are more realistic. They're more realistic in their behavior, more realistic in the way they think about themselves. They might be cocky, they might be arrogant, but it's a different version of it than you get in California. California is missing the element of the weather. You never have to consider it.
Yeah.
You never have to worry. Like
I just think it has the opposite effect. I think you just can flourish as a person.
You can do that too. Sure. I mean, it's basically in how you look at it. I don't think it hurts you, but I think it might hurt a dummy. You know, I think like you're living in the East Coast and hurricanes come and you got to fucking batten down the hatches for the hurricane. You get out. It kind of puts things into perspective when you get out there and you see trees ripped out of their roots and fucking windows broken in houses and cars fucking flipped over. Like that puts it into perspective. Like you ain't shit. You know, and everybody better band together because there's some other stuff out there besides people, and it can fucking kill people. And some of it is air. How about that? Yeah. How about the air becomes a scary monster that rips fucking buildings off its foundations, wipes out entire towns, and people are running around worried about vampires? Fuck vampires. Tornadoes are way scarier than vampires, you know?
Yeah.
A vampire can't just destroy your house and send it flying through the air. Who's worrying? Fat girls.
Oh,
a lot of fat girls.
They're not worrying. They're hoping. They're hoping for a vampire to come.
I don't know if they're hoping, but
rescued from their.
They like to believe. Lives. Isn't it funny that they like to combine those twos?
What?
Vampires and romance.
Yeah. It's a weird combo.
Something about him being undead is sexy. Yeah.
Why? He can never leave you.
Maybe it's that. It's also that, you know, the futility, the obvious futility of the relationship, because unless he kills her and eats her, or unless he turns her into a vampire, she can't stay with him because she's going to grow old and he's going to be young forever.
Yeah.
And it's like this romance and the fact that he loves her and, you know.
Just a metaphor for, you know, everyone has problems.
Yeah, the ultimate sign of romance if you agree to spend the rest of your life with a woman.
Yeah.
But if you agree to make that life an eternity,
yeah,
how much more so romantic would that be?
Yeah, and there's also the forbidden love, the fact that he's supposed to be dangerous, but no one knows. Everybody thinks he's a monster, but you know the real him. And around you, he's safe, but around other men, he pulls his fangs out, and everybody runs, and they want to kill
him.
You don't know him.
And you're like, look at yourself. You're dating a vampire.
Yeah.
Stop it.
She let a vampire fuck her.
Ugh.
In the Twilight movies,
they fucked
a vampire fucked the shit out of her.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you fuck a vampire chick if she gave you life forever?
No. Want some crazy bitch who wants to eat me?
No, can you imagine? No, she fell in love, though.
No, listen.
And if you see a vampire, kill
them.
You.
Vampires aren't people, okay? If you see one, you got to kill them. You got to stick with team people. There's a reason why we don't have mountain lions just wandering through our streets like you have pigeons.
I'd go over. Because
pigeons are helpless.
I'd go over.
I'd go over immediately.
You'd fuck her?
I'd immediately go over and then start telling about the people, the mortals I know.
Really?
Telling on them like I know where they live.
Do you say this?
I'm on your
I hope
side
you're
now.
In jest.
I agree.
Are you saying this in jest?
I would definitely become immortal.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
To some extent, people want to live longer.
Yeah, but what if when you die? Okay, if we're talking about vampires, we're talking about something so silly.
Okay, but
if we're talking about vampires, then we're talking about evil things, and we're talking
what
about
evil?
If you die, you're going to go to hell. So now hell exists. If vampires exist, hell probably exists too.
But you
so
never go to hell because you're undead.
Yeah. You get killed, bro.
Oh, you're right.
There's a lot of people are going
to
want to kill vampires.
And then your soul goes to hell.
Yeah, and you're fucked for
eternity.
That's
a good point. Because if you accept vampirism, they would have to accept heaven and hell.
You got to accept all kinds of other stupid
comes from
shit.
Them being damned by God.
Yeah. You got to accept a bunch of other stupid shit that goes along with it.
It just seems like God fucked up there again. They damned them to eternal life.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty cool. Another fuck up.
Yep.
But isn't there like a potion to like turn
right?
off being a vampire?
It's design
like
flaw.
You could drink some kind of blood and then you give up your vampire powers?
I don't believe that. That's some shit where people make
drink
up.
Drink regular blood?
You think that's...
See, all these fucking pussy cutesy vampires with beautiful hair, that's not what a vampire is supposed to be like.
Wooden stake to the heart kills you. Daylight kills you.
Like
garlic kills you.
People try all sorts of different variations on the vampire theme. Like there's a book out called The Strain. It's Guillermo del Toro and some other dude wrote a book on vampires. It starts out badass, but ultimately completely fizzles and becomes stupid. It becomes like almost like they ran out of, like, they had like 10 pages where they had to finish, so they just finished it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and then he shot him and he died.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the sort of, but in it's
way
weird
worse.
In literature form because it seems like almost like it's written by two different people. Like, one person
Who's
who really knew.
Is he an actor?
He's a producer and director.
Okay.
He's the guy who did Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh,
great movie. Labyrinth, sorry. But it was this book is almost like it's written by one person and then the other person finished it, it almost seems like.
Right.
Because in the beginning, they set everything up badass and it's like really creepy and suspenseful. And you're like, whoa, this is a good fucking book. Like a real page turner. Like I remember I was reading it in Germany and everybody else from the UFC was going to go to some after party. I purposely said, nah, I'm kind of tired. I went back to my room
to read
this book because it was that good. I was like so addicted to it. I was stuck with it, but then it turns into a stupid book, like the last like 40 pages or something.
Like something with a love story all of a sudden. You're like, what?
It didn't do that. It just the detail was gone. Like all of a sudden, it was just and this happened and that happened. I was like, ew, what are you doing?
Do you think they fixed it in the movie?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a movie. They were trying to make it a mini series, but there's a
wait. They have billboards up for it. They posted bills.
Oh really?
Yeah. For that
Strain.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Unless it's for the book. Did the book just come out?
No, the second book came out, but that was at least a year ago, I believe, the second book.
Then maybe they're making a movie about it.
Maybe. I thought they were going to try. I think the original thing was a treatment for a miniseries, and then he decided to turn it into a book and sell the book. But well,
like 2 days ago, I started seeing the bills for it.
Really? Yeah. The movie. Let's Google that shit. But my point
it's
is...
It's like Guillermo del Toro, and it said, don't invite them in or something like that, or don't...
Do you think the Pan's Labyrinth porn version would be Pam's
Wow,
Lydia?
They have a trailer out already.
No, I think they'll do better than that.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, there's a trilogy. That's what it is. I think it's the book.
Oh, so it's a sequel to the book?
Yeah, because it doesn't say anything. Oh, the Strain movie.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So you're getting peed on, Brian?
Yeah, it won't happen again.
Yeah, okay, it is. It's a real movie,
really?
Man. Guillermo del Toro. It's a real movie. But my point about vampires is that these guys did another different take on the vampire. This vampire didn't have fangs.
Yeah, they always run a reinvent, which I get, but it's like, come on, man.
They don't even attack your throat like a regular vampire does. They put a little tiny incision that you can't even see. You can barely see it. It's so stupid.
Vampires?
It's like a tongue. Their tongue morphs and becomes some like little laser fucking razor blade thing. It's really dumb. It's like Nosferatu. Yeah. That's what a vampire is supposed to look like. That old one from the 1900s, the one that was like it was a silent radio. That's what they're supposed to look like. They're supposed to look like the undead. They're supposed to look like horrible fucking creeps. And they're supposed to have fangs. And they're supposed to jack your throat. Everything else you're inventing, you're inventing a new thing.
Did you see that Invite Me In movie?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the chick from Superbad?
Yes.
Whatever, not Superbad, whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw the original version, too. I don't remember the name of it.
One of them's Invite Me In.
Yeah, Invite Me In is the American version, and I forget what the other one.
Let Me In.
Let Me In. Whatever it was. I saw both of them. But the,
what's that about?
It's about a little girl who's a vampire. It's pretty dope.
So
it's realistic.
Eight forever. Or whatever it is.
Perfect age.
It's just really cool and super realistic. That's exactly what it is. Super realistic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
much
sort of sad. Not a great ending. Not sort of happy. It's sort of like, oh.
The American one wasn't as good as the foreign one.
Yeah.
Well, it was close. I wouldn't say it wasn't as good because it's whenever you compare something to the old something, you always go, first. Oh, this new Batman's gay. You know, it's just natural.
Yeah.
But there's that scene in the tunnel where she jacks that old man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was good. That was good and weird, mm-hmm. you know?
In the new one, you mean?
Yeah, in the new one.
Yeah, like,
the new one.
That's,
the way she did it was like frightening.
And that chick is good.
Yeah.
She's a good actress.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a real goddamn vampire movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they're supposed to be. You can't invent stuff like, oh, they can go out in the sun, but they sparkle. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I like the glitter, bro.
Fuck you, man.
They radiate.
You know,
when
it's
you
like,
the sun instead of die.
This is not a vampire. This is some fake shit. This is some fake shit, man. God damn it. It's just romance.
He wants his vampires real.
Girls want romance. So speaking of romance, your girl's peeing on you again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening now. It happened again, and it's
what
like
mean,
it's like
in the middle
it's,
of
the
night, like, just pees.
No. While we're banging, when she comes, it just explodes, and you know, people sent me
is
like
just shooting or is it peeing?
She's either peeing or she's juicing so hard that it's the pee levels of amount.
But
of
you
amount
said it
stuff.
Smelled like pee.
It did. It did smell like pee. And
oh, yeah, that stuff smells
and
like pee.
But what also I've been noticing is when I'm fucking her, it's gotten to the point where it's like so wet that it's like making Donald Duck noises, like like that, like it's filling up with so much liquid. Like she needs to go to the doctor, I think, because that's just.
Well, you said she's a super nympho. Like she like vibrates in the car while she's driving.
Yeah,
she puts a little vibrator.
Maybe she broke a valve.
And she wants dick like 3 times a day. And poor Brian
really?
Is forced to go to a gym now.
Yeah,
he's trying to get in shape.
Why?
Because I can't keep up anymore. That's so much. That's 3 times is the min, by the way, or that she at least has to have it 3 times.
God damn! And are you? Caveman fucking her, or are you just like whimpering?
Well,
what happens
luckily,
if
she slowly slide it in?
Well, luckily, you figure out a girl what she likes and stuff. You just have that one move that just makes them come like crazy.
Right.
Well, I just have to keep on doing that one move.
Well, don't say the move because then the next boyfriend will learn.
Yeah.
It. He'll go
thank
back
you.
To the
so
what
thank
happens
you.
If you don't want to do it?
Yeah, it's from behind and you're choking her.
What?
And
you punch her. She likes
punch
to be
her,
punched.
You go through her.
Drop the elbow to the back of the. So what happens if you don't do that? Like, whatever. She's like, I just can't do it a second and third time today.
She gets mad.
She gets mad.
So I have to, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's not good. Because then she's going to go somewhere else. And so I have to do it. Wow. And what I've been, you know, increasing my blowjob. If you know me, I'm not a huge blowjob fan. But I have to increase that because that gives me some time, you know, to be like, all right, I'm ready to do this. You know, because
blowjob helps you get hard.
Yeah, yeah. So it's now getting to the point where, the other day, it was like 6 times. And it was like, we fuck. And then like 10 minutes later, she goes, fuck me again. I'm like, okay.
You know, it's hilarious, dude. This is like a scene from The Twilight Zone. Yeah. This is like an episode of The Twilight Zone where a guy asks for a nympho.
No, I don't want that much.
And then he can't fucking take it back. She's like, you better fuck me. You better fuck me, you fucker.
Yeah.
She gets mad at you and you fucking freak out.
Yeah.
What does she do when she's gone, like on the road and stuff?
She has a selection of toys. By the way, I don't know if you ever heard of for women, there's this vibe or I can't remember
vibrator.
It's like an iPod for vibrators. It's the best vibrator ever. I forget the name of the company that makes it.
An iPod? What do you mean?
It has got a USB. It's got a USB plug in it, so you just hook it up to your laptop to charge it.
That's what charges it.
Yeah, it's what charges it, and it's got like 1,000
settings.
Different settings.
And you can download settings, maybe.
Yeah, it's great. It's crazy. But
that vibration programs would sort of be like, you know, you get on an elliptical machine, it simulates stairs.
Yeah, stairs up,
they
down,
could do that in the
hills.
Vibrator.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hard, fast. So she's constantly trying to get off.
Yeah, nonstop. 100,000. She seriously spends most of her time.
It's really cool that you're dating normal
fucking
chicks now.
Me
I always equate obsessive sexual behavior with distraction. I always say that whenever in my life that I've been obsessed sexually, whether it was obsessed with masturbating or obsessed with fucking, that it's a distraction and that really I was imbalanced. And what I needed to do was get my mind in order. And then
you wouldn't fuck anymore?
Yeah. No, not that I wouldn't fuck anymore, but that I wouldn't be obsessive. You know, there's a certain level of fucking or jerking off or anything where you do it even when you're not even horny. You do it because this is the thing you're obsessed with. This is the thing you're fixating on. It's so, like, physically, your dick is limp.
Weird additions.
You're not horny, but yet you'll be chasing pussy like crazy. Whereas, like, there's a big difference between that and, like, say if your girlfriend goes out of town for
I'm
a couple
physically
weeks.
Physically horny and I want to get laid. It's been weeks.
Yeah, if your girlfriend goes out of town for a couple weeks and you haven't seen her and then you grab her and you hug and you kiss and your dick goes, slam, son! It's time, and you—that's that feeling, man. When you grab her ass, like, oh fuck yeah, that's real horniness. That's the real.
That's
deal.
That's the stuff that I miss because I'm fucking four times a day. That now it's just like, all right, must fuck.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about your girl too. I think she can't really possibly be experiencing that either. She seems to be obsessing. I mean, I understand the concept of nympho. I always wonder.
She's getting all wet. She's getting hard.
But
she's
it's a girl.
Worse.
It's different. It's a girl.
It's
different for a girl. The whole setup is different. It just, you know, it's not like a dick. A dick is a highly complicated biomedical condition. You know, a hard-on is not. If a guy had a bone, you know, like if your dick was a bone and you could just fuck all the time, you would wear the skin off that thing. It would look like a rhino horn. It would just be pointy at the tip and all broken down and scabby and fucking hard, and you'd just be fucking all the time. But because of that, your dick is this really complicated sort of an arrangement where everything has to be in line. You have to have the right amount of sexual confidence. You can't have too much liquor. You can't have too many distractions or bills. There can't be too much noise. Nobody can be screaming at you. You know, if you had a rhino horn dick, you could just fuck. You have people screaming at you, stop fucking my ass. Fuck you. I'm fucking her. You got
times.
A crazy bone. You never have to worry about it going dead. But anything can cause your boner to stop. You know, you can get in. Have you ever gotten in an argument in the middle of fucking?
I've thought of Bill sometimes, but it's something really wearing on me. Or like getting some parts.
Yeah, you can
big,
do that.
It's just so distracting. You're like, oh, fuck.
And then your
away.
Dick starts going limp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've there's a girl that I dated a long ass time ago who used to argue about everything. She always wanted to argue. And she would argue while we're fucking. She would just start arguing. And I had to pull out. I had to pull out and stop. So what? What? I go, you're a fucking crazy person. What? We're having sex and you can't stop arguing.
That's when you start fucking her in the ass.
No. That's when you run away before she kills you.
Right.
You've got the wrong advice, Brian. That's terrible advice.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do. I think it might be a doctor thing, though. Lately, it's just too wet. I think it's
a psychological thing. I mean, I don't know physically, like, everyone's different, obviously. You're different, much different than me. I'm much different than Ari. There's level. I mean, some people are autistic. I'm sure some girls are sexually, just chemically imbalanced to some point of nymphomania. Like, it's a physical thing. But I also believe that a lot of the cases of nymphomania is distractions. Just like a man being obsessed with beating off. That you can call that guy a nymphomaniac.
Right.
But like a girl is just like having a rhino dick.
Or it's because he's distracted. What are you saying?
What do you mean?
You're saying it's distraction.
A lot of the reason why they're doing it is because they're looking for a distraction.
From something else they should be
doing?
Yes,
from their life, from focusing on your life. If you have issues and things that make you insecure, things where you haven't accomplished what you want to, things where you're not at a place where you need to be emotionally. Yes, gambling, all those things. They're all completely related to an imbalance in your system, an imbalance of the human being. When I get in the isolation tank, the number one thing, the number one theme when I get in there is sorting out things that are bothering me. It forces me to consider all the things that are bothering me.
Yeah.
The isolation tank is the exact opposite of going to a hooker. See, if you got some shit going on, you're like, oh, just call this bitch up right now. She'll suck my dick for $500. And you get crazy and you start going into a hooker frenzy. I don't know. I'm just making up a number. But I know dudes who are addicted to hookers. I know dudes who would always like bring hookers out to clubs, and they would always pick up hookers. And they had hookers that were constantly texting them, hey, babe, I'm here. And they're like spending thousands of dollars on hookers. Yeah. And those guys were all fucked up in the head. Yeah. Like all of them. There was all sorts of imbalance. It wasn't a horniness. It was an obsession, and a lot of that obsession is because you don't like certain parts of your own life, and you're trying to not think about your problems. So instead of thinking about your problems, you think about beating off, or you think about gambling, or you think about, you know, anything else.
Collecting cards.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is that's you become obsessed with.
Yeah.
That video games, you know. Anything where you become obsessed to the point where it's not even enjoyable. What that is almost always is you trying to avoid some shit that's really bothering you. You're trying to ignore it. It's anti-evolutionary. You're in a rut behavior. You're like a crazy rat sitting in the corner bobbing back and forth waiting for your heroin. It's completely unproductive.
Yeah.
So your girlfriend's crazy.
So fuck your girlfriend.
You need to take your girlfriend to a doctor.
Yeah, I'm going.
Take her to a psychologist.
Or I'm gonna go to one of those car washes with the vacuum cleaner. Just suck out
sometimes
all the juice.
Sometimes people need to talk to somebody about their shit.
Have you asked her what it is, if it's pee?
Well, she's got some issues.
Well, she doesn't know. It just started like 2 days ago where it's just, I mean, seriously, when we're having sex, it's really loud. It's like, it's like Donald Duck on a carousel.
That doesn't bother me as much as the constantly wanting to fuck all the time. When someone I always think that this, like, just fuck me, get me, stop thinking about this, just come on, fuck me.
I want to feel something.
If you know her past, and you know, you've talked about her issues in her past, she really needs to go to someone and sit down and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That's what she needs to do. I mean, I think a lot of people need that, man. It's not a bad thing. It's not a weak thing. Other people can help you.
See, the problem is she was talked about going to a sex addiction anonymous type thing.
Right. Uh-huh.
But the problem is I don't want her going there with other sex addicts. That just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, you'll go there and some dude looks like the new Conan, some 6'4", fucking swarthy, handsome bastard with giant pectorals and a fucking iron eel-shaped dick.
I would say that if a girl looks like your girlfriend wants to get laid, she would have zero problems.
Right? Yeah,
so no issues. Wouldn't be.
So you're saying I should go to the sex addiction addicts. Thing to pick up girls? That'd be
yeah. Absolutely.
What I'm saying is, if somebody wants to fuck her, she's gonna fuck.
She doesn't need to be around other sex addicts.
Yeah,
that's very unfortunate.
She can get dick at the Subway.
Yeah,
I need to start throwing burning wax on her face. 12-inch
tuna, 12-inch tuna,
and get a chastity belt.
And get a pussy eaten.
Bring back the chastity belt.
No, honey, don't wear your seatbelt.
Just listen. Stop being scared.
Make it rust proof.
Look, you're gonna die. Okay, there's no stability to any of this shit. This earth, the sun's gonna die. The sun only has 1 billion years left, or whatever the fuck it has. 6 billion years, whatever the fuck they predict. This is all temporary, bro. You're fucking this really hot girl. Just enjoy it. Be nice to her, enjoy it, and get that bitch a doctor, because she needs a doctor. She wants too much dick. It's ridiculous. Or, you know, I don't know, whatever. What the fuck do I know? Am I an expert on this? I don't even have a vagina. men are such non-experts in the vagina. No one has completely isolated what squirting is. I mean, think about it. Every single fucking function of the man's body.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Every single function of the man's body has been cleverly analyzed. But it's a little the woman's body has a Loch Ness monster.
I think they're hiding something.
That's what squirting is. Squirting is like the Bigfoot of the woman's body. Like, what is this? Is this real? What is this? Is it a UFO? Squirting is like fucking paranormal. Well, nobody knows what the fuck that is. There's a lot of debate about whether or not that's piss.
There's a lot of debate about whether you should be impressed by it or not.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, or if you should drink it.
Websites.
I might try to bring some next time I'm here so you can look at it and smell it and tell me what
not
you think.
I'm smell it.
Bring it in. I'll smell it.
You will?
Fuck yeah, I'll smell it on camera.
You taste it? Rub it on your chest?
I'll rub a little around my nipple.
But that's just for coloring.
Just around the nipple. Imagine if it made me like super sensitive and I started crying.
Just, like it soaked into your
leaked
pores.
Into my pores. Oh my God.
Well,
they say that men's loads actually help cure depression in women. That there's believe it or not, that there's something in male semen when absorbed by the woman's body, the reaction actually alleviates
sets off
depression.
Endorphins and whatever.
So maybe that's why she wants dick all the time. It could be that.
Did a male scientist do this research?
Is she on the pill or use condoms?
But yeah, we should. I should before reference.
She on the pill or
use
condoms?
Condoms.
Wow.
Ew, really?
Get on the pill.
That's the problem.
That's what happens.
You're not
tell
giving
people.
Her any real dick. That's what you have to tell people. That's hilarious. Yeah, that's hilarious. Semen acts as an antidepressant. Yeah, it's in a science journal, man. This is a New Scientist.
Hey, how'd your you just got an STD test. How did that go?
Hold on, sweat this
all
before
clear.
We get into that.
I'll clear up until AIDS.
This is really true. Semen actually makes you happy. The remarkable conclusion of a study comparing women whose partners wear condoms with those whose partners don't. That's the problem, dude. You're wearing condoms. Wank, wank. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
The study is bound to provoke controversy. Oh, okay, this is sort of anecdotal evidence. They could have just got lucky and found 10.
Well,
people
was the
fuck.
Study?
People
was
it, like, fuck. It feels group? Better. I don't think semen makes you better. When you fuck without a condom, it feels better.
Yeah.
You know, you could just say that. You know, people.
I've heard girls calling it with a condom, calling it like it's like getting a massage with your T-shirt on.
Oh wow, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's probably why they feel better about their relationships because the sex actually feels really fucking good. You know, it probably has nothing to do with. You should talk to people who pull out. But nobody wants to admit they pull out.
What
nobody wants to admit they're so stupid that
that's their method of birth
that's
control.
That's their method of birth control. You know, you could analyze them. You know, nobody wants to admit that, man.
Yeah.
There's a bit from my act, and it's absolutely fucking true how I made my first daughter. That was 100% pulling out. That was all pulling. I pulled the fuck out. I didn't leave it in there. I wasn't drunk. I know what I was doing. It doesn't matter. There's some really determined sperm that will make shit happen. So don't try the pull out method.
I used to only do pull out. Now I use condoms a lot.
God,
more.
You're so lucky.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard. It's not as easy to knock someone up as you think. Because when we were trying to have the second baby, I fucked her a lot. And I was always shooting loads in there.
Yeah, dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some knuckles, bro. Yeah, but it took like a couple of months. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Really?
Fucking you every day. You know, this is getting ridiculous. You know, around the time when she was ovulating, whenever she was ovulating, it was a mall session. I fucked the shit out of her like 7-8 days in a row. She said, all right, we're going to make some babies. I got fired up, smoke a lot of weed, listen to some good music, and go and just fucking attack, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work, man. It took a few months of that. I shot loads in her every single day that she was ovulating, and it still took months. Eddie Bravo. You know, it's taking him. He's trying to have a baby. I shouldn't talk about that. I don't know if he wants to release that.
My girlfriend played a practical joke on me because we got a birth control test the other day at Target, and she got a red Sharpie and made the mark so it was pregnant, and she just laid it on the bathroom floor and didn't say anything.
You say it's a practical joke, but she probably wanted to see your reaction because every girl deep down inside wants to have babies.
Yeah, well, I my actual reaction was, God, yes. And I gave her a hug, and I was
oh, my God. Really?
No.
I was like, if there's any man-child that's
God
not quite.
Damn it, bro.
If you really
like,
told
you
me
doing?
That you had a baby, I was like, I flashed in my head, okay, God. I got to get him to join the Army. He needs to become
like,
a man.
Get out of this now. I was just shocked and
I was thinking,
saddened.
Can you get a guy in boot camp without having him be in the actual Army?
Yeah.
I don't want him to go overseas, but he needs
to
fucking.
Straight to being a cook.
God, yeah, he needs Camp to go Pendleton. To Afghanistan. And fucking run around with a backpack on. He needs to become a man.
You guys know I'd be an awesome dad.
You would be
silent.
A good dad. You're great with your look. He got so depressed that his cat hurt her foot and he started smoking. Okay, he's very concerned.
No, you would not be a good dad. You freak out.
Well, that's why I always tell Eddie Bravo he'd be a great dad, because he's fucking dotes over his bunnies.
Yeah,
he's so into bunnies. I'm like, dude, wait till you have a kid.
There's so much responsibility.
What, kids?
Yeah. Yes,
they are. They're an amazing.
You can't procrastinate at all with them.
No, you can't. But you know, Louis C.K. told me this once. You get more shit done when you have kids, because you know you don't sit around and just fart around and think about getting things done. Like, you only have a certain amount of time. Like, it forces you to work.
Oh, by the way, tonight Doug Stanhope's on Louis.
Oh, he is? Yeah, oh, cool. So awesome. Cool. I saw Doug on the Green Room episode with Janine Garofalo, and he went after Janine Garofalo.
What did he go after her for? What did he say?
Well, because the day after 9/11, she was on stage in Texas saying that we need to support the president, support George Bush. And, all this.
And then she changed?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, that whole fucking liberal intellectual with one finger in the air that
okay
they
to
moisten
change.
To check out the fucking political wind.
Yeah,
which way is it blowing? Yeah, which way is it blowing?
Mind people changing their mind. I totally care about that. But then you're going to harshly judge everyone who hasn't changed their mind fast enough
but
yet?
But she denied it, which is much more interesting.
Oh, really?
It's much more interesting to watch someone deny it. Yeah.
And what, there was video of it?
Yeah.
How'd she deny it?
Well, I had you know, it just said it didn't happen, and Doug was very adamant about it, because I remember him telling me about it, how ridiculous he thought it was when it happened.
Yeah.
Time, you know, that you support any. Why would you ever fucking support any of these fucks that are running this country?
Yeah.
They're all goddamn criminals. They're all, everything they do that's legal should be illegal. Everything they do that's secret should be open.
Yeah.
The transparency in government is the number one reason why all this shit can take place. I firmly believe that they have fake spies and fake data breaches and fake hacks just so they can tighten down security and just so they can make more things secret. I really, truly believe that. I think if I was trying to run shit the way this United States government is run, the way they constantly taking money.
What do you think the reason would be for them to
money! All money.
Wait,
hiding
money
where the money goes.
Oh,
hiding
okay.
money. Well, look, you know about this whole thing where there was the bailout. We thought it was a certain amount of money, and it turned out to be $16 trillion in secret bailouts. Yeah, because Ron Paul and someone else audited the Fed, and they got a detailed list. You didn't hear about this?
$16 billion. It couldn't be $16 trillion.
Trillion, bro. Look, secret.
It went from $800 billion to $16 trillion?
Secret bailouts. Hold on. I'll read you the article. And these are in mainstream publications.
So 20 times as much as they admitted.
Audit of the Federal Reserve reveals $16 trillion in bailouts. This is not just on one site. This is on many, many sites. And it's the first ever Government Accountability Office audit of the Federal Reserve was carried out in the past few months due to Ron Paul, Alan Grayson amendment. Amendment to the Dodd-Frank bill, which passed last year. And Jim DeMint, Republican senator, and Bernie Sanders, an independent senator, led the charge for the Federal Reserve audit in the Senate, but watered down the original language of the House, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What was revealed in the audit was startling. $16 trillion.
What
trillion. Listen to this. Well, there's a bunch of websites with a very similar article, but listen to the trillion. Listen to that many zeros. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 fucking zeros.
Yeah.
That is $16,000 billion. That's what that is. It's amazing. And this is $16 trillion had been secretly given out to U.S. banks and corporations and foreign banks everywhere from France to Scotland. The period between December 2007 and June 2010, the Federal Reserve had secretly bailed out many of the world's banks, corporations, and governments. The Federal Reserve likes to refer to these secret bailouts as an all-inclusive loan program, but virtually none of the money has been returned, and it was loaned out at 0% interest.
Wow.
Now, why isn't this on mainstream news? Why isn't this?
What news,
like,
source is that? What are you reading?
A lot of different. I'll find this one. This website's called The Plain Truth. But it's been on The Daily Cause. It's been on
Daily Cause.
Yeah, KOS, which is like a real liberal news source. But it was in the Huffington Post. It was in. Huh. It's in. Like, I know secret bills. I'll write Huffington Post because I know it was in that too.
We need you to collect that money, Ari. Did the Bobby Lee choke method?
And people like the fucking Huffington Post is not. It's a liberal rag. It is true. But okay,
$16 trillion. The Huffington Post is more reputable.
Let's try
than
CNN.
I've never heard of.
Let's try CNN. Yeah, CNN has it too. Yeah.
$16 trillion is whatever we said we spent on bailouts. That's 20 times, 20 of those in secret, on top of the one we did for real that people argued against.
Yeah. This one's saying 9 trillion. This other press corps. .ca, a Canadian website saying 9 trillion. Either way, it's okay. Marketobservation.com. There's a lot of websites that have this story. Well, there's only one that has 9 trillion. Everything else seems to be sticking with between 13 and 16 trillion.
And totally yeah. adding it up?
Yeah, there's a lot of websites, man. I mean, the Google hits, I got 4,200,000 results.
Wow.
So it's obviously this has been talked about on a bunch of different websites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of politics, scary I'll be in Washington, shit, man.
DC. Oh, what a fucking segue! What a segue!
At the
where are you gonna be?
The Atlas Performing Arts Center.
How come you're not at the Improv? Those cunts, are they not booking you?
No, they won't book me.
What kind of ridiculous shit is that? Listen, you dirty bitches. Friendly. Just because Ari Shaffir came up at the Improv does not mean that he can't go there and headline.
I love
Don't
that
be cunty.
I like Allison.
Yeah. Headliner Ari Shaffir. Listen, we'll make you a deal. We'll pump it up on Twitter. We'll talk about it on the podcast.
That's what we're doing with the Atlas Performing Arts Center.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to pump it up the same way I'm going to pump up this weekend, August 13th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Pabst Theater.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Holla at your boy.
Have you ever played Wisconsin before?
Yes, a long time ago. Brian, we still need to put that Denver date up on the Ustream page.
It is up.
Not on this one. So, see?
Hit refresh.
I did. Just did.
The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Something happened.
When are you going to Denver?
That's September 23rd.
What are you playing?
The Paramount Theater. Holla at your boy! Nice. I used to do the Comedy Works, but yeah. Joe Diaz cannot get booked at the Comedy Works, and I get tired of going to Denver and everybody asking.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Is Wendy promoting that or somebody else?
I think she's had something to do with her, too.
That's good.
But she can't stop. Can't stop Joe Diaz from coming into town.
Yeah. Eventually, it's like, what are you guys doing? Something that happened 20 years ago.
He had the
relax.
Most ridiculous version of that story, too. His version of the story was that the girl, she was on a stage, she jumped off the stage, I catched her, and I had her ass in my hand for a brief second.
Yeah.
And comics talked through into saying that that was sexual harassment.
I bet it's a lot of comics just not being cool with crazy shit that happens at comedy clubs.
Well,
like
yeah.
somebody complaining.
Well, Joe Diaz-style craziness. Joe Diaz is perfectly fitted to the Comedy Store.
Yeah,
you know, like exactly. when he talks about that girl that he got to suck his dick every time she got on stage in the belly room, she had to suck his dick.
Who was that?
Some girl, but she quit comedy, and then she sent a letter to the Comedy Store,
saying this, you know,
so angry that he did that. And Joey talks about it and laughs.
Animals there. They're animals. I love it.
Yeah. Well, he was probably running it like that in Colorado. You know, knowing the Joey that we know from back in the day.
He's making a party.
Yeah, he was making a party, and someone panicked, and, you know, some fucking really white guy probably just couldn't handle it. I mean, Joey Diaz was a criminal from New Jersey who all of a sudden lived in Colorado and was robbing people with machine guns and fucking kidnapping cocaine dealers.
That's the best.
You know?
But not real kidnapping. I just robbed somebody's cocaine stash with a machine gun.
Yeah, what? Oh, dude.
That's so much better. I love it. Yeah, I love it so much.
Let me tell you something. When you
he
tie
was
somebody
so hard.
Up, yeah. Oh, he was crazy.
It's amazing how nice he is. He was so hard. He's like, he was a straight criminal. It's great. It's a complete change.
He went on a 10-minute rant about how the weed sucked the last time we had a podcast. He was calling it Susquehanna weed.
Susquehanna.
Because Susquehanna was a hat company from the Laurel and Hardy show. Like, I had to like calm him down for 5 minutes before he explained it.
I love when he goes off on rants.
He was going so crazy. You give me this fucking Susquehanna weed. This fucking And I was like, what is he saying? Is that like a... You know how Joey Diaz mispronounces words? I thought he was saying like Hannah Montana weed. So he was calling it Susquehanna.
That's what I thought he was calling it.
Yeah, me too, right? You did.
I like that name better anyway.
Susquehanna weed's hilarious. But what it was is, here's a tip, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do this with your weed. Don't grind your weed up in a coffee grinder. I've done that for a little bit, and it's a matter of how many times you press it down, because the weed gets chopped up really quick.
Have you put it in bowls or vaporizer like that?
That is a good move. Yeah, in a vaporizer, it works like that, because you don't have to worry in a vaporizer about sucking the air through it. But when you roll a joint with it and it's powder, it's too hard to get oxygen through, and so I don't think you get as high. So that's what Joey was responding to the other day. That and the fact that he was in traffic for like an hour and a half getting here.
Oh, sometimes it's so hard to get here.
Screaming at his, "Why don't you get a bike, you fuck?" And he made a video of it. It's hilarious.
While he's driving in
here? Yes, yes. And he showed it to us after the show. So we're going to add that video to the end of the blog videos that we do.
Funny.
You go to JoeRogan.net. There's always
if he sends it
blog videos. He'll send it to us. He'll send
that's
it
a
to
funny
us.
Video. It sounds like
yeah. And if it doesn't, if he lives on the street from you, you could just go to his house and upload it.
I'll just recreate it.
You know, why would you recreate it when he's but joking. What he did was perfect. The way he said it was perfect. He's fucking screaming at people and going nuts because he's stuck in traffic.
We're going to Buffalo together.
You are?
Yeah.
When?
September 17th.
September 17th.
Yeah, the town ballroom.
You and Joey?
Yeah.
Who booked this?
This guy contacted us, and I let Joey work out the details. It was just fucking, yeah. It's like
September 17th, is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Nice. September 17th is Saturday. There's a UFC that night in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that should be good, man. So what is the name of the place?
The Town Ballroom.
The Town Ballroom?
T-O-W-N-E. Yeah.
Well, make sure you come on. Both you guys come on that week.
Okay.
And we'll do that Wednesday open. I'm not filming Fear Factor that Wednesday. So we'll do a podcast with you and Joey that Wednesday. And we'll talk about
that
weekend.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to hit New York for a few days after that.
We got to do a daytime podcast, though. A nighttime podcast, Joey gets too angry.
What nighttime? Oh, how's Fear Factor going? Is that why you did nighttime?
Yeah, I had a film all day. It's going easy. It's easy as fuck, man.
That's cool.
It's the easiest job in show business. No, three days for an episode. The easy stunt is the where they have to eat things or do those are usually take a couple hours. The other days take like 5 hours, 6 hours.
Set up everything.
It's fucking easy, man. It's going into a show like the people who were running it, they ran it the old days. So it's the same people. So they know exactly what the fuck they're doing. So it's easiness.
Yeah.
It's just
still getting
easy money.
Well,
what was that?
I don't know. It just dropped off the sound for a second.
Yeah. Oh, you know what that is? That's that limiter that we have on now. Yeah. That's
what,
too
loud?
Joey Diaz sounds from getting too crazy.
Oh, so if we don't make any sounds, it drops off extra hard?
It just turns off the mic.
Oh, it's funny. Like a Prius.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
It's like a shitty hybrid.
Yeah, it just stops recording when no one's talking.
Right. Have you ever thought about buying one of those?
Hybrid?
Yeah.
I'm getting a Leaf. A Leaf or a Volt, one of those all-electric cars.
Yeah.
I'm sold on it. All the details I've read, it's you buy two batteries, you charge one in at your house. You keep one going.
Yeah.
They give you all these tax incentives to get one.
Really?
If you get a home charger, they give you a ton more tax incentives. I'm talking about like $4,000 to $8,000 for each one to go towards the cost of a car. And then the amount of oil it takes is virtually none.
Really?
One of them has almost none. The other one has completely electric.
And how long can it go? So one of them is a hybrid. Which one's the hybrid?
I think that's the Chevy Volt.
The Volt's
I think
hybrid.
Nissan Leaf is the only all electric car.
And so with both of them, yeah, I think
Keep an extra battery in the car.
Yeah, and
they said this. They said more stuff can go wrong. Wrong. There's only one thing. The engine is way simpler. You just took out this battery, put another one in. There's nothing can go wrong.
Yeah, but
more can break on a regular car.
They have Priuses down pretty good right now.
All electric.
I think if you're somewhere and you need fucking energy, you can't rely just on energy. You have to have gas. Because what if this whole thing fails and they decide, fuck this.
No.
You at least want your car to be able to
take. What if they say, fuck what?
Fuck
what? Whole thing fails?
Civilization. You know how it is.
No, what if these batteries become, they stop making the car. The company goes out of business. They stop
Nissan?
Making, yeah.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Nissan and Chevy go out of business?
Just like
Chevy came
Pontiac
close.
Pontiac or just like all the other car
They'll
companies
still make
that
the
went
things.
Out of business.
Yeah, yeah, maybe you're right.
So if they stop making these batteries.
So
and
how long would it have to be?
On eBay for $50 million each.
How long would it have to be? Well, yeah, nobody has to. How long would it have to be when it's around until you get a car like that?
I will get a hybrid. I'll get a Prius type thing or a.
But
Ford
like, how
hybrid.
Long would electrical stuff have to be around before you say, okay, it's going to be around? It's not just going to end all of a sudden.
When all the batteries are the same for every single car.
Oh, once the law where completely you have to get that car.
I mean?
That's the only time you'll switch.
You know the way I feel
I'm
now.
Way before that.
The way I feel where I know that there's some sort of a peak oil situation and we're slowly going to run out of resources and electric cars will slowly take over. I fucking love driving a big, fat, stupid V8 right now because I know these are the last of the Mohicans.
I never get any pleasure out of that.
My Mustang, dude.
I like going fast.
Why don't you drive my Mustang? I'll let you drive. You've been in that thing before. You want to drive it? You'll get it once you drive it. Once you get behind that thing in that all-aluminum block, 550 fucking horsepower, the snarl of 4-inch tailpipes. Come on,
Can they not make a fast car like that?
It won't sound right. It won't be right. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
They have a Tesla, the Tesla Roadster. That's a very fast car.
Yeah,
the Tesla Roadster is a very fast car, and it's interesting because it's a little sports car, but it's all balanced, all fucked up.
I got a Honda right now, so I'm not getting that joy anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Right. I know you're not getting the joy, but you should. You should. You drive a 5-6 speed, right?
Your car's a 5-speed. Yeah.
Yeah. Your car's a manual.
Yeah.
It's a manual.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Manual. Not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if you have a manual, man, you know what it's like to shift all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
what
you're doing
all
day.
My first car was a manual. Datsun.
I like manuals.
Yeah.
I like them for real cars. I don't like them for traffic, but I like them for real cars, man. When you drive a Mustang and it's a, you know, one of those GT500s and a manual, and you shift through the fucking gears, you feel it, though. You feel the mechanics. You engage the gear yourself. You
definitely
control
a lot more how long you're going to go in overdrive until you downshift. You know, like how much speed you can get. You can't do that with an automatic car. You're just hoping it keeps shifting at the right time.
You have, yeah. Well, you can definitely, today they have these called double clutch boxes. Like M3 has a double clutch box. And what that is an automatic, but it's a standard. Like you can set it up to shift gears where you could rev it up as far as you want and use the paddles to shift gears. Like all the Ferraris.
So you can do it yourself.
The
like
new
a bike,
Ferraris
like
do
a
that
bicycle.
Now. Exactly.
Wow. So you let it rev a little higher while it's still trying to speed
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah. You can rev it to as long as your heart's content, but you shift with the paddles and it's instantaneous. The shifts are like
one
fraction
kind
of a section. Almost many, many cars have it now.
What's it called?
Porsche has it. It's called a double clutch gearbox.
Okay.
And what it means is it's actually a 7-speed. Wow. Like the M3 has one. And it's a 7-speed. And what it is there's one gear that's inside, one gear, you're engaged one gear, and then the clutch will already pick up the second gear. So as you're shifting gears, the next gear is like instantaneous. Like when it releases the first gear and picks up the second gear, it does it with no downtime.
Like when you're shifting in a regular car, you have to press in the accelerator, let go of the brake,
you go to
the
neutral.
I mean,
you go to neutral when you hit the clutch.
Yeah.
You put it into second gear and then you release the clutch and now it's in second
and then
gear.
Press on the accelerator.
This thing
again,
you don't. It's first gear, second gear.
Wow, that's
it's
a lot
instantaneous.
Better.
Yeah.
That electric car, how long does that take to charge the battery? Like 12 hours?
No, not nearly that long. You can charge it overnight. You can have an iPod program that sets it to charge during non-peak hours.
Each charge is what, 80 miles?
No, way more than that.
You sure?
No, it's like
you got to look at the research.
Yeah.
It's way better than what you think.
300 miles?
I'm telling you, look into the stats.
Right, so it's
they're
miles.
Most about 300 right now. Right?
Right, so 300
okay,
miles.
Check it. Because right now you're asking me to quote yourself, and I don't know the stats.
The
stats
Leaf,
are.
Right?
You guessed 80, and I don't know.
He got excited. Notice he raised his voice? He's getting upset.
So you want to drive.
I can hear you trying to make points on stuff we're all just guessing.
No. Here's what the point was. All right, so say like you want to drive.
Yeah, 80 miles would be way too little. 80 miles would not be realistic.
You want to drive to Texas.
Okay.
So you need 7 batteries.
Uh-huh. No, you fill up at gas stations.
Yeah,
hold on a second. Listen to you laughing like anyone's driving to Texas.
Yeah.
When the fuck is the last time you drove to Texas? You're like, oh, you need 7 batteries?
Far, they have a 20-minute quick charge.
Who's driving to Texas?
70%
if you want to ever take a road trip is what I'm
saying. Yeah, listen.
Oh,
at
wait
gas
a minute. Hold on, Ari. This thing only gets 99 miles.
99 miles total, the Leaf?
Per charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you want to go to Vegas? You got to bring
shit,
3
dude.
Batteries.
Yeah,
that
yeah you would
shit.
Have to, or you just have to stop at 99 miles.
And,
oh, that's
and
way
then
too
charge
little.
For 6 hours. How long did it take to charge a battery?
Here's what I like that you got happy good. That it wasn't as good as 300 miles.
No,
because you had made the point earlier. So now you're
been
glad
in my Mustang.
That it's not 300 miles.
No, I'm just
miles.
Saying that if you're going to get a car, for the most part, get a mix. You don't want all batteries. What I'm saying.
If I could get 300 miles, I would want a battery. If I get to go 300 miles on charge?
Actually, this is up to 100 miles, which means you're probably
going
to get like 60.
How much is a volt? That doesn't seem like it should be out on the market yet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? The EPA has rated the Nissan Leaf a driving range of 73 miles.
Per charge.
Range will vary with driving habits, conditions, weather, and battery age.
But 73 miles? No, that's not nearly usable.
That's whack. Yeah. And it's ugly as fuck. Ugh. Dude, I'm going to take you to the Ford website and show you a GT500.
You know what I do want to get?
Take some of that
I want to get one of those little micro cars.
What cars?
The little baby
smart
cars.
Yeah.
Just for like driving to the store. Just
yeah,
for
going, easy to park.
Yeah,
totally easy to park.
So small.
Smart cars,
they're not as bad as you think safety-wise.
Yeah.
No fun. You don't feel the growl of the V8.
Well, I mean,
but you can get out of your car and get into that store.
Yeah. You don't like that? That doesn't give you a thrill?
That does when I'm getting on an open highway.
Ari, how old are you?
37.
You're going to like it in about 5 years.
Like what?
Open highway's cool. You know what's great, though?
Yeah.
Windy roads. That's when it's great to have a fun car.
Oh, yeah. I get too scared now.
You don't
I'm
even have to drive
high.
Fast. You don't have to drive fast. Just the feeling of, you know, just a little bit of a windiness in the road. It makes you're controlling the car. You feel the tightness of the suspension.
Yeah.
Okay, the Nissan Volt. Jesus Christ.
Nissan
50 miles.
50 miles?
50 miles on its fucking battery.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You can't even get to work.
The all-electric range, the EPA, oh my God.
Does it recharge
the all-electric range, according to the EPA, is 35 miles.
Yeah, you get stuck on traffic on the 405.
The total range is 379 miles. So that means if you got fill up a gas, your fuel economy is through the roof. It's 93 miles per gallon. That's incredible. So That is, that's if you go in...
Half and half.
Yeah, 37 miles, 37, right. Yeah, 37 miles an hour.
Do they have the recharge thing like the Prius has?
Miles per gallon.
Where the brakes recharge it?
Okay, this is what it is.
Really?
It goes, it's 93 miles per gallon in all electric mode. I don't understand that. And 37 miles per gallon in gasoline only mode.
Okay.
So I guess you have the... you have the option. So a combined gas and electric fuel economy rating of 60 miles per gallon. Pretty fucking good, man.
15?
My car gets 15. And that's what it's rated at. So it probably gets 10.
My car gets like 27 or something.
I need to switch my car, but I want an SUV, and I don't want... I might get the... I think they have the Ford Edge.
Why do you like
the
SUV so much?
This is kind of interesting, though, the Chevy Volt.
Yeah, what is it? What else?
What it does is it operates the battery... It operates on pure battery power until its battery capacity is depleted, at which point it fires up the engine. So then the gasoline engine powers an electric generator to extend the vehicle's range. So that's how it operates. It mostly operates on electricity as long as you have enough power in there. So it's almost like...
Oh, that's why it wasn't the same as a Prius.
Yeah.
So I was like, how is it different if it's half and half? But it's not quite half and half.
It definitely seems like a better move than the Volt because at least you
Leaf.
Can get gas. Yeah.
You're talking about the Volt.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Volt is better than the Leaf because the hybrid seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, especially 76 miles. Unless you're just driving 5 miles back and forth to work, that's not really realistic at all. Road trip is you're fucked.
I always think, what if I had to go on a road trip? And I know
you
said
that. There was some sort of 70% charge you can get in 20 minutes.
Really?
A quick charge one of them. But the problem is you don't want to stop every and have to do that in 60
that's
miles.
Weak. That's weak. But this thing sounds better. This thing can go 379 miles, and this is like a normal car. You just go and you get gas, and it can keep going.
And that one you can keep shifting.
Yeah,
changing.
They just have weak ass engines. They sound like shit. I know that these are for transportation, but there's something we're already missing in the transition between the gasoline powered cars. Like you know, you get in an old Mustang, you smell them, and we miss the smog. We definitely do, but we also miss the analog connection between the person and the vehicle. There's a fun connection between cars.
My aunt got some nice car once, like a Lexus or an Infiniti or something, and it had an analog clock on it. And I was like, why do you have that? She goes, because it's classier. She was so excited to have this thing. And I was like, it's harder to read. Why is that classier? Why don't you get a stick shift then? What are you talking about?
She writes in cursive too.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not. Yeah, get an easy to read clock.
They do that with Lexuses.
Yeah, maybe it was a Lexus. Infinities. And I'm like, it's just hard. You're looking for a split second to see what time it is. You're not supposed to figure out where the big hand is.
Isn't it funny that digital watches never really caught on?
No.
Especially if you want to be classy, like you get yourself a Rolex, get yourself a nice, nice Cartier. Yeah, not digital.
Why? It's so much easier to read.
I know.
More exact. You don't have to wind it.
What is it? What is it about that?
I know, it's all aesthetic. It's got to be all aesthetic.
They used to make Corvettes with digital speedometers, and it was so weak.
Oh, really?
You'd hear the growl of the engine. You'd hit the gas. You'd put the fucking foot in gear. You put the clutch in gate. You see the digital numbers. Like, what kind of stupidity is this? There's something about it. You want to see a needle move. You want to see it. You don't want to just...
Did they have a remake of the Cuda? Because I swear to God, I saw a brand new Cuda the other day. Or Barracuda.
I think people still...
Yeah, the Challenger.
That's what it is.
Challenger and Barracuda's they shared a lot of the same body shape.
Right.
And a lot of the same
Is that the
panels.
Challenger one with the Hemi engine?
Well, you know, there's some with Hemis, some not.
How are those cars? Because that was...
They look awesome.
Yeah. Well,
Chris has one. Aubrey.
We used to have...
Did you know that Aubrey... I'm going to tell you this before I forget. He runs a nail... website.
Oh, I found
nails
out about
for men.
This. My girlfriend told me about
Alpha
this.
Nails.
Yeah,
the same dude that sells Alpha Brain, which is legit.
And he's, you made fun of guys wearing nails on that podcast, I believe, at one point. And then I looked over and I'm like,
did he clam
he's
up?
Wearing these?
I did.
Yeah,
when
he said something.
I think I made fun of dudes getting pedicures.
Yeah, but I think, or you were like, or those people that get nail polish.
No,
and I'm like, I look
I've
over.
Never done that. I don't think I've ever made fun of that. Yeah.
No,
I've made fun of guys getting pedicures. I've made fun of guys like
I did it once.
And manicures.
Amazing.
I'm sure.
I did it once for
still
a sketch.
I do it all the time.
For manicures, you know, it's just like guys who get like a clear gloss over their fingernail. Like that's you're just trying to look pretty. You know, Tate used to do his nails. You know, he's always painting his nails. A lot of anime guys paint their nails.
I used to paint my nails in college and a little bit afterwards.
Well, this guy runs a website.
Yeah, it's I forget what it's called,
but
it's
like Alpha Nails.
Alpha Nails.
It's got Alpha Brain and it's got Alpha Nails.
People that do it, like Dave Navarro says, I love to put a little paint on before going out and sucking some dick.
Dave Navarro was on Howard Stern the other day, and I was listening. Yeah. It was fucking really compelling, especially one part where they said that, you know, America's Most Wanted, they found his mom's murderer.
Whose mom's?
Dave Navarro's mom? Someone murdered Dave Navarro's mom. Really? And found the guy on America's Most Wanted.
Whoa. And that show got canceled.
Yeah. You know, the America's Most Wanted, man. They were talking about how many people have been caught because of America's Most Wanted. It's a lot of fucking people.
Really?
Got
directly because of that? Or a lot of people they showed got caught?
Got caught directly because of that show.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, if you think about that show, man. If,
that
you
does
know,
more good than
how many people are watching
it?
Millions. Millions of people are watching it. And then that person is a fucking target now.
He's like, fuck, turn this off.
Oh. Yeah.
Everybody turn
people
it off.
Fans, man. People, you know, you're working at a gas station. This guy pulls in. Yeah, I'd like to get change for 20. Like, you motherfucker. And you make a phone call. And next thing you know,
the guy's before the next exit.
Yeah.
Bam.
Good luck. You can't go Bonnie and Clyde today, man. It's too hard.
Yeah.
Did you hear about those kids in Florida that tried, though?
Tried to do a Bonnie and Clyde?
The stripper and her two brothers went on a fucking shooting spree and robbing banks with automatic weapons and shit. And they started out in Florida, and they just got caught in Colorado in a shootout.
Really?
The broad got hit in the leg with a bullet, and yeah, they were shooting at the cops, and they didn't kill them,
though.
That's
another fake car. That's
down.
Another warm country, warm area.
Florida?
Yeah.
It's another warm area? Yeah, but they have storms, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Florida
has storms.
They have
to deal with that. Some bank robbers.
Florida.
Deal with Floridians.
Florida's the land of the lost. We've said it a bunch of times, but it's true. That is the most vacant city, or the most vacant state. The most, there's something mentally, emotionally. They're detached. They're fucked up. It's a weird. I like going there. It's a lot of fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of cool people there. My fucking parents live there. It's not that everyone there is shitty, but there's so many people moved to Florida to escape and to hide. You know, so many New York gangsters went down to Florida to lay low.
It's like New York with good weather. You know, it's
way worse.
Mafia style.
It's way worse. It's more like. I would say it's like the
There's
worst
some
parts
rural
of Jersey.
Parts of Florida. Yeah, like Jacksonville area or in between Jacksonville and Tampa or something.
Swampland, dog. That's where we're going to put our compound.
People who live there have like real spells.
That's where we're going to put our compound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to make it all out of cement and steel so that no hurricanes can take it down.
Like the evil Justice League.
Did they have one of that?
Yeah, they had an evil Justice League that was in some swampland.
Really?
Yeah, Justice League of America.
Because if you wanted to be evil, you'd go to a swamp, right?
Yeah, no one could see them. It was like the Mixaplex, the anti-Superman, I think. It's tough.
I was watching this documentary on the Congo, and people actually tried to move to the Congo, like wealthy Europeans.
Why?
Because there's an immense amount of resources in the Congo. The Congo has diamonds and gold, and there's this, minerals. There's a lot of money to be made in the Congo, and that's like why there's so much civil war there going on right now. So many people are getting murdered in the Congo because they're trying to rob all the shit out of that region. That's why all these women are getting raped. The Congo is a terrible, terrible place. But at
That's
one
a great
point,
excuse
time,
for raping. They go like, "What are you doing raping?" Like, because of the gold.
They want to take over villages. They rape all the women.
Oh, like
they
in
demoralize
attacks.
The men. Whoa. Yeah, demoralize the men. They shoot the young men and rape the women. But these wealthy Europeans at the turn of the century tried to build mansions there. They had all this wood court. They have these beautiful mansions in the Congo, completely abandoned.
Yeah.
It's overrun with jungle and monsters and fucking spiders that act in packs and big cats and chimpanzees. I mean, you can't fucking just build a house there, dude, and play polo in your backyard because you got some money. Like, a lot of really wealthy people are like, this is an amazing place. We're going to build a home here. And this is back when people didn't even have... You know, they didn't even have, like, powerful boats, you know? They didn't have planes. They didn't have cars. But they're moving fucking big boards and all this, construction equipment in there, and they're trying to build houses in the Congo.
Wow. Good luck.
That's just like building in the swamp.
I know how
it is. It's the same thing.
Look at these body kits for these electric cars. If you search Google for body kits, they have, like, little
fake
Lambos, little Porsches. Look at that little.
Wait, are those like mini cars?
Little Corvettes.
Wait, these fit in your hand?
No. These you drive. Scroll up. Scroll up a little bit.
Look at that.
Scroll up a little.
Oh, so you put like a different body?
That middle one, that Corvette GT.
Yeah.
That is, the Carrera GT, the Porsche. That is nasty.
And that's like a smart car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like body kits you can buy for those smart cars.
How much are they?
I don't know.
It must be a lot of money, dude. Those look pretty fancy schmancy.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. But those batteries for that Leaf thing you were talking about, $10,000 a battery.
$10,000 a battery?
And they take 8 hours to charge.
8 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah, they'd have to get a little better than that.
Dude, those little smart car fake Ferraris are the
That's
shit.
What I'm talking about. Can you imagine us all driving around with these things?
Yeah, it's $10,000, but you get $5,000 back from the government immediately. Huh? You get $5,000 back from the government immediately.
Yeah.
So it's $5,000 for a battery.
No, for the charging kit.
I would get the home charging kit.
Those are fucking badass.
Yeah, those are cool. I like the truck. I like the SUV, the gold one. Go to the gold one. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Why doesn't someone make like a real one like that? Like make it fast.
Yeah, right. You
know, give it some power.
That looks like a micro machine.
That's exactly they look like.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Someday they'll be laughing at all this. You had to actually go somewhere.
In a car.
You couldn't just beam up.
Yeah. Idiot. Old man.
Yeah.
Go to the back.
Yeah, people will have on their body, they'll have some ability to fly through the air and manipulate the matter around them to fly around. That's definitely going to happen someday. They're going to be laughing at stupid people in their cars, hitting the brakes. They rely on traction to slow down.
What if the rubber popped? I know! They were getting into accidents.
Oh, all the time. They did blowouts. They were idiots. Yeah, the way we look at people on horses. What if the horse's legs broke? You got to shoot it. No way.
What? Your car?
No way.
Blow it up your car? That's crazy.
Yeah. What if the car dies? Well, you just get rid of it. What? You just get rid of it? They just got rid of their cars? Like someday there'll be no need to recycle because we won't ever, we won't ever look at resources that way.
Yeah.
We'll be in harmony with nature. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't think.
Maybe not. Maybe we're just fucking pigs.
Yeah.
Gluttons. Maybe we are here to
just
eat the sandwich.
Destroy the world.
Yeah, maybe.
Eat the sandwich. The sandwich thing, Earth, and then like...
Yeah. Was my thing in my beginning of my Showtime special that I said that I look at people like mold on a sandwich. You look at mold on a sandwich, you don't see individual mold spores with individual personalities. And if you were an alien life form, completely alien to Earth, and you saw human beings, you would go, there's a growth. This is a growth. Like you look at cities and, you fly into Los Angeles, you look at the nature, you look at the ocean, the mountains, and it's all beautiful and natural. And then you see cities. It really does look like something's growing there. And I said, well, maybe that's what we're here for. Maybe we are just like mold on a sandwich.
Yeah.
Maybe we're here to eat the sandwich. You know, it's really, maybe that's it. Maybe we're here to fuck things up. Probably not. Maybe we don't have a fucking purpose. Maybe
we just
exist.
Yeah, I don't think we're here for anything.
Build the robots to kill us.
It seems to be the process of complexity. Like we're a part of the process of complexity. And that definitely seems, if there is a purpose or a need or a direction that everything's going in, it's going in that way. Everything's getting more and more complex. It seems to be inevitable. It seems to be an ethic. It seems to be just the way things work.
Wow.
You know? Don't you think about it?
Of what?
Complexity.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything is moving in a direction of complexity. It's all moving.
Yeah, it's getting a lot more advanced really fast. But
the whole universe is. You know, the universe starts out with a small, tiny spot, smaller than the head of a pin, blows up, expands, multicellular life forms, that becomes intelligent, sentient, able to change its environment. Then it starts changing at a rapid pace. It all seems to be a direction and an ethic.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you got to do differently?
Can't do anything differently. I think we're trying to pretend that we have it solved, and we're trying to pretend like, oh, we, as people, we need to get together. It would be nice if we were cool to each other. That would be nice. Yeah. It would be nice if we could all enjoy our time here and not be cunts. That would be nice.
That's all dictated by the resources. Coast.
Yes.
Way before the West Coast. Even when it's not nice, it's San Francisco. Still, people are cooler.
They're
to
nicer.
Each other.
Yeah. Well, that's because they moved away from the East Coast. Everybody initially landed on the East Coast, and the ones who couldn't take it anymore said, fuck this, I'm going west, and they kept going. I think the one thing that we can do, everybody says, well, we need to, people need to figure out a way to work this out, we need to work together to change the way, I don't know if that's going to, I have a feeling that what we're doing is natural. I have a feeling
what we're doing.
War, corruption, the depletion of resources. It seems to me that every other animal that does fucked up things, whether it's hyenas kidnapping dogs, have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? Not hyenas, baboons kidnapping puppies.
So
they raise puppies. They have feral puppies. They guard.
Really?
Yeah, they become dogs. They stay with them their whole life, and they guard their camps.
Really?
So the baboons sleep at night, and the dogs bark. It's intense.
Oh wow.
It's complicated though, But people look at it and they don't go, oh my god, what is this? They go, oh well, this is natural. The baboons have figured out that if they kidnap these puppies, they can get these puppies to guard the camp. It's like
so.
A,
you
a
think
process.
It's natural then for humans to war with each other?
Yes, 100%. It's
okay,
happened
just
forever.
Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's good for us.
No, it doesn't mean it's good for us. But it sort of means that it's going to. See, but you say good for us. You're talking
like
about you. Talking about you.
Uh-huh.
You, it is definitely good for those people that are getting money out of the war. You know,
yeah,
you say it's not. But for those Dick Cheney characters that are getting billions of dollars while little brown people get bombed on, it is good for them. They
for the
profit
few.
For it. Yes. Yeah. So it is natural for someone who is unscrupulous to pursue those paths because there's money to be made from it. And I think that, you know,
even though
for,
it might bring out the,
sure,
the world.
It should. I mean, it's frowned upon for a bunch of reasons because we're all in this together, and you know, and we all think that people shouldn't be treating each other like that. And I completely agree. But
I'm more on a starfish level.
I think
level.
It's natural. Starfish? How's that work?
You ever hear that thing where it's like the guy picked up a starfish? It was on the beach and threw it back in the ocean.
Yeah.
He was on this beach, and then his friend was like, "There's thousands of starfish on this beach. Like, you can't possibly hope to save them all. Like, what difference are you making?"
Right.
And he goes, "Well, it matters to that one starfish." So I'm more like on a smaller
individual,
level.
Smaller
yeah.
level.
Let somebody in the traffic.
Yes. Well, look, anything you
it's
do.
It's really easy to make a difference.
Anything you do that makes the world better, whether it's telling jokes to make people laugh, making a song that people like, just saying hi to someone at the grocery store and it gives them a nice warm smile. Anything you do that's positive is good. Anything you do that helps people is good. Anything you do that makes this experience better. But ultimately, it's all temporary. The entire experience of life on this planet for everyone, including your future children, it's all completely temporary.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, you got to enjoy it. But the direction that it's going, if you were looking at this direction, if you were looking at human behavior, if you were looking at any other animal that was behaving like this, you would assume that it's natural.
Right.
When bees make beehives, you assume it's natural.
Right.
This is what they do. When ants make some giant, complicated ant farms, you know, they make incredible ant hills, man. Monstrous, giant constructions. We just assume that it's all natural. When human beings act crazy and selfish and delusional and fuck up the environment and war with each other and drop bombs on each other,
or kill their
we
kids.
Should probably assume that it's natural. We should probably assume that this is what this species does. We just are so cocky. We think that we can avoid our nature. We're so cocky. We think that we can manipulate our nature. And maybe we can.
We can. That's why they put laws out. To stop people from doing what they
would
do.
Sort of. It just kind of slows it down.
Yeah.
It stops it from being completely chaotic. And, I mean, most of the laws are set up so people can have more fun and enjoy more time here and have more pleasure
you have
and less pain.
To protect the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Less pain, more pleasure. Make this transient moment feel better for the people that are participating in it. But when you get past that, man. What is it? What the fuck is all this? How come war never ends? How come we're always coming up with new reasons for it? How about corporate corruption never ends? 2011, this $16 trillion bailout thing that we're hearing about. You know, how come there's so much money missing in Iraq and Afghanistan? There's billions of dollars in cash went
People
over there. They don't know where the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But yet war rolls on despite all protests. Corruption rolls on despite all protests.
A lot of people agree with it.
Yeah.
Not the corruption, but with war. A lot of people agree with it.
It's because they're ignorant. They don't understand. I mean, go read War Was a Racket by General Smedley Butler, 1933, this fucking guy. Major General,
don't hear much anymore.
Major General in the Marines wrote this fucking incredible book, an incredible paper about war, about how all his career he thought that he was protecting people, you know, and trying to promote freedom, and really he was just making things safe for bankers, making things safe for oil companies. It's all about money, and that's why he wrote War is a Racket. You know, the idea of a racket being something that's corrupt and set up.
Yeah, you only need an army, really, because other people have armies.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, there's really no reason for it at all.
Yeah. What a fucking bummer. What a stupid way to end the podcast. So on a positive note, dude, you're fucking touring all over the country now, man. You've completely over the last like year and a half, you completely broken through.
Yeah, I feel like a more of a draw. Just like I don't know things are happening.
You're a real comic now.
Yeah.
How much of that is your podcast?
A lot. That's only been for 4 or 5 months.
But that 4 or 5 months made a big difference.
This podcast too.
Yeah,
helps a shit ton. And then I feel like my comedy's gotten better. It's hitting a new level.
The down and dirty on Jim Norton and all the internet exposure. You got a lot of internet exposure.
Yeah.
Well, this podcast is just like being on, you know, a radio station. It's like being on a giant radio station.
It's like every time I go on stage now somewhere, there's people, like workout sets that I don't promote at all. Just, you know, comedy sort of the improv. And then it's like you hear people clapping at your heart.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's crazy. You always needed something. You always needed that. And we always thought that it would be something like Comedy Central.
I met mainstream. You know, Robbie from Just for Laughs told me this like 2 years ago when I went. He was like, you ain't going to do a special, man. That's just not going to be your path. Look at your comedy. Really? You think Comedy Central? I mean, think about it.
Dude, Comedy Central put my special on.
I know. That's kind of ridiculous. But but he was like, it's just not going to be your path. They're not going to book you. So find another way.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's internet stuff. I have no idea.
It is. Yeah. That's what did it. It's 100%.
And Marin, definitely.
Yeah, you know? Marin. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's selling out because of it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's a totally new ball game, man. And you know, and it's a much more intimate relationship with the people that are listening. First of all, because it kind of goes right into their ears. They're wearing earbuds and shit, a lot of them. Or they're in their car alone.
Yeah.
And it's like you're sitting with them in traffic or you're sitting with them while they work.
Sorry about traffic. Sucks.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Maybe you're waiting to use the treadmill and someone's talking.
Just give up.
Just standing on the treadmill talking to the fat girl next to him. Get the fucking treadmill. But it's the connection's different. It's different than...
Yeah.
There's never been a time like this, man.
Tons of people in Canada going to me from the podcast.
Fuck yeah.
Tons of people there more than anybody.
We're number one in Canada all the time. We're number one on iTunes of all podcasts. We've been on it a bunch of times.
I met that guy Breslin. You ever met him? The Yuck Yucks guy?
Yes.
I met him when I went. He's kind of cool. Like, he used to be a comic.
Yeah. Yuck Yucks is a good chain. They got, but I think they keep comics from doing other chains.
Yeah, they do, and it's annoying as shit. I just don't.
That's
play
weak.
That
well, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But that's weak. Yuck Yucks in Vancouver isn't Yuck Yucks anymore.
I think that one's done. I think there's no Yuck Yucks there.
I just did it, though. It's another club. I forget the name of it.
Absolute.
I don't remember. Yeah. The guy's going to be mad because he was a nice guy and I hung out with him.
Absolute's where the Yuck Yucks used to be. I think it's called Absolute Comedy, but I might be
Is that
wrong.
What it is?
I don't think that's the name. No, that's the name of the other place in Toronto. I don't know.
It's in Vancouver, but it's the same place. It's still
It's a great location.
Tight
it's like
little,
two blocks off the main street.
Yeah. Whoever knows it, just send it to me on Twitter and I'll say it because I feel bad. But we did it when I was down there. We did the club, and then we went over and did Yuck Yucks the next day. We did it after the UFC.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun to get a workout in somewhere.
Oh, I did it after the weigh-ins. I did it Friday night. Yeah, it's great. And Canada is just one of the best places to fucking perform ever.
So good. They're sort of smart audiences.
Yeah.
Like, they understand what comedy is, where you're supposed to be quiet and listen and laugh like crazy and then be quiet again and listen.
Yeah, America.
They just understand. I know, it's weird. It's like maybe some of that's for festival stuff, too, but it's just like...
It's not
just
that.
Sort of smart.
All those other gigs we did.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
we
always
did,
well behaved. Especially
even
if it's
Victoria,
animals that come to your shows.
Yeah, savages.
But they don't really. They're different types of animals in Canada. They're like smart comedy audience animals.
Yeah. And so you're doing a lot of Just for Laughs shit. You just did the Montreal Comedy Festival, right?
Yeah.
What'd you do up there? You did your storyteller shit up there,
too. Did my storyteller show.
That's another thing you've gotten really good at. You've sort of organized this series of shows with all storyteller shows where you get up and people just – it's a theme. Everybody has material that they do about whatever fucking theme it is. And
it's made that part of my game a lot stronger.
Your storytelling part?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could stretch out on that stage, right?
Yeah, and I have to keep like coming up with stories and figuring out what funny is, you know, and like working at them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I got a fucking show in 4 weeks. I don't have a story. I don't have one that sounds good.
Yeah, you were hurting for a long time, man, trying to break through the comedy scene, but now you've become a legit professional comedian.
Yeah. I met these people that run the comic strip in Edmonton. The husband's like a comic, and the wife is just runs it, you know? And they're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then their 15-year-old son was like, to me, he was like, can I take my picture with you? The amazing and I was like, yeah, you can see them going like, who is this guy?
15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. And you're fucking ruining this kid's brain. He's going to get beat up by some Mexicans. He's going to be out.
They haven't gotten that far.
Taco place. There's Mexicans up there, dude.
Really?
No, if there's a job, there's Mexicans. They'll find a way, man. They'll find a way, dude. It's called Comedy Mix.
Comedy
Mix.
That's
the place in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Comedy Mix, yeah. Thank you, the whatever. That's the guy's name.
What
a brilliant fucking thing Twitter is, man. Just
quick
be able
answers.
To ask a question like that. It's like your own little Wikipedia. Boom. Yeah. How many friends you have now, too? Followers?
19,000.
Shazam, son.
A lot of people.
Follow Ari Shaffir, ladies and gentlemen. ARISHAFFIR. And follow Red Band.
I'm a little dirty, though, so if you're like Christian, you don't.
Yeah, that was funny that you said some girl got kidnapped. A 14-year-old girl got kidnapped, and Ari goes, I remember sometimes when I was young, I wished I had a different family.
Yeah, I retweeted it for that. People were like, that's too far. And I thought about it. I was like, all right, well, maybe. And I was like, no, I appreciate it as a joke.
Yeah, no,
I'm talking about my own experience. Getting
it's unfortunate that that girl got kidnapped. Yeah, but you were talking about
your
own life.
I read it like that.
And you were like, oh.
I read it like, oh, God, Ari.
Did you? Well, I have kids. I have kids, and I didn't read it like that.
My favorite is the people who let you know they're unfollowing you.
Yeah. Like, unfollow. Yeah. So rude.
It's like, all right, if you don't like it, you can just go. You're trying to make some point. I don't care. It's totally cool not to like me. It's totally cool.
Yeah. I had a bunch of people unfollow me because I was making fun of Easter once. Those little pussies.
Really?
Yeah.
Easter bunny.
You fucking dummies.
I eat rabbit every Easter just to piss your faces.
Don't say that to Eddie Bravo. He loves rabbits.
Really?
Yeah, he's on a rabbit kick, man.
I love rabbits.
My friend Carboni has a rabbit.
Yeah.
He loves it.
I got a bunch in my yard, and I'm going to eat them when the shit hits the fan. Boom, shalock, lock, boom. So just to reiterate, this weekend, August 13th, we are in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater. That's this Saturday night. It's me and Joey Diaz. A rare combination.
Go out and support.
It's one of the few places where Joey Diaz apparently has no warrants.
He just hasn't been there.
Yeah.
He has actually told me he's played some cool places in Wisconsin a long time ago.
Yeah, he's been there back in the day. He knows apparently some great places where we can get good Italian food. That's what he keeps ranting about. Oh, the fucking spaghetti and meat sauce. So that is this weekend, August 13th, this Saturday night. We're fucking fired up. The Pabst Theater, it's supposed to be a beautiful place. Then September 23rd at the Paramount. What are you doing September 23rd?
Nothing.
Ari Shaffir will be joining us.
Nothing.
September 23rd, Ari Shaffir is also coming.
That's the Denver one?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver's always amazing, man.
Shazam, bitches. And there, of course, is a UFC the next night where Ari will want to be because it's John Jones versus Quentin Rampage Jr.
Oh, that'll be great.
In Denver, motherfucker, at altitude. Very difficult to have a 5-round fight at altitude. A title fight in a fucking place where the air is thin as shit.
I love title fights.
Fuck yeah, you do.
No one denies how important it is.
I do too. And there's a fucking UFC on versus this weekend. I'm the luckiest dude on the planet. Thank you everybody for the birthday tweets. Thank you to the Fleshlight. Thank you very much. I'm 44, bitches. That's right. You can still be retarded at 44. You can still be a child and never grow up. It is possible to be a Peter Pan. I will not mature. I will stay this way as long as my body stays healthy. I will not get any more cranky than this. This is just how I will get off my lawn, kids.
At that exact age forever.
Thank you to the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men, and then you can shoot loads with a big smile on your face, knowing how much money you're saving, and you can use that money to buy the new alpha brain pills that we're selling from Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T.
Really?
Every single fucking report I've gotten back is positive. All these people that have tried it, I'm getting testimonial after testimonial. Brian's been using it. I've been using it. It's safe. It's not dangerous. These things that have all been, everything has been researched. There's a frequently asked questions thing that we're putting together for Onnit.com, but there's actual science behind this. And it's not like that fucking pill that Bradley Cooper took in that Limitless movie. It's not going to make you into a genius, but it does make your brain feel good. It makes you feel clean. It makes you feel like you have energy. Chris or Aubrey says it's good for hangovers. I haven't tried it for that yet, but it is good for jet lag.
Does he have a pen name? What is his deal?
He's fucking had an ayahuasca trip and changed his name.
Listen to the podcast.
It's pretty gay. Gay with a G-H-E-Y. Like protein. Way. Holla at your boy.
Gay. Thank you to the guy in Ottawa who gave me a bunch of pot and mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms
too. Me and Jay Oakerson did them while we watched The Perfect Circle.
Whoa. You just took mushrooms from some dude?
It was pretty cool.
Seems like a good idea.
A Perfect Circle with a band?
Yeah.
Really?
They put on a cool show. I was never really into it as a band, but Jay Oakerson was super into it, so I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Is that with the dude from Tool?
Yeah. And he stayed, it's the only one lead singer way in the background
really?
In darkness. Doesn't call any attention to himself at all.
Yeah, Maynard is a weird guy. I heard a lot of weird things about him.
It was a cool show.
But he's good at jiu-jitsu, so I take him. I say, man, I like you. You are just like me. We're one or the other, my friend. You get in there, you spar. You put your neck on the line. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Next week, we got Kevin motherfucking Smith is going to be a guest.
That'd be cool.
And the return of Duncan Trussell. And holla at your boy. I love you, bitches. And thank you very much for everything. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. It means the world to me that you guys enjoy it. And it would be pretty fucking stupid if we're doing this and nobody was listening. You know what I'm saying?
That everyone tuned out in the world. Like, what are we doing?
Bye-bye. Big kiss.